about. Good morning, class. Good morning, class. Class. Thank you.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
The entire office has come down with a pernicious case of the Mondays.
Wow. What do you put our chances at?
0%.
Dear Lord, thank you so much for bringing our daughter home to us and watching over her while she's been out whoring with the devil's children and protecting her and keeping her from harm and keeping her from sexually transmitted diseases. Through Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
And now, on Larry King Now, the N-word, our feature presentation.
I don't know if that's how we want to get started today, Larry, but thank you very much. And welcome into yet another all-new Kevin and Bean show, this time for a Monday, the 15th of September. Hey, Lisa May.
Hey, Bean. How you doing?
How are you, my dear?
You know what I did all weekend? I killed flies. That's
what?
And I reckon I killed like 60 flies this weekend. That's all I did. I don't know how they're getting into the house, but when I go to bed, there's like 5 buzzing around in the bedroom, and then, you know, in the kit, it's just insane.
Do you have a whole bunch of raw meat that's out rotting in your living room?
No, there are 2 golden retrievers who poop in the back, and I do try to stay on top of that, but not completely successfully at all times. So I guess I get maybe they're coming in the doggy door when the dogs go in and out. I don't know.
What's your technique to kill flies?
I have a fly swatter.
You're using a fly swatter? That's so old school.
Well, what do people do now?
Fly spray.
There's fly spray?
Oh, you get yourself some fly spray. You spritz that up there, and all they have to do is fly through it, and that kills them.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it kind of toxic, though?
No, not at all. It's perfectly safe. And then, of course, then you have to go around and pick up all the dead flies.
I have to do that anyway.
Yeah, that's true. But they die wherever. But, yeah, fly spray because especially...
Are you making that up?
No, not at all. Especially since, you know, a lot of times they swarm. There's a whole bunch of them together.
Yes.
You just zip, zip.
Well,
takes care of it.
I have to go get that today.
You got to look at it. You can get some on Amazon.
You know, the worst part is when you swat them and you succeed. I've gotten really, really good, but then they bing somewhere and you don't know where they went. And like you're looking all over the kitchen counter. You can't find them, but you know it's there. It's so creepy. And then they show up later.
That was your weekend. When you look back on the days off that you had, it was spent running around your kitchen with a fly swatter.
Just killing flies. I mean, it didn't help that it was 100 plus.
Yes.
I'm sure that's partly why they are so bad right now.
Yes. I bet that's right. I think they do come in more frequently when it's hot outside.
But I trapped one in the shower, and it's a shower that goes all the way to the top. Like, you can take a steam in that shower. And that little effort got out somehow. I don't know. Like, 20 minutes later, he was out. What do you have?
In a million years, if you had asked me to guess how you spent your weekend, it would not have been livestock hunting.
Nor for me.
That's unbelievable. And Muggs, you're still working here.
Yeah. You know, I was going to bring up the fly thing. There are tons of flies here, Lisa. I wonder if
there are.
Yeah, I wonder if you're the problem.
Oh, you think it's me?
Here.
Maybe I should shower once in a while.
No, you're clean smelling, but maybe they're like hopping in your purse on the way to work.
That seems unlikely.
That's more flea-like behavior.
Yeah, I don't think so.
No. Okay.
How was your birthday, Muggs?
It was good.
I don't care.
How dare you?
Let me get started with this story before we tell you about today's all-new Kevin and Bean show. I think it's going to be a good one. The monkey is out. Last week was my week of vacation. I was in Alabama. We'll talk some about that later. Kevin is off this week. But we do have a good show for you, and we'll tell you about that. But first, here's a great idea. That, you know, every once in a while something comes along like Uber and you go, wow, why didn't somebody think of that before? Because that's just genius and it changes everything. I think this has the potential among some people to change everything. It is a new rotating program that is taking place at resorts and boutique hotels around the world that it travels. It is called the Divorce Hotel. It's a Netherlands-based company that teams up with various hotels and resorts around the world, and they bring in a staff to help you get divorced over a weekend. you check in on Friday as a married couple. You check out on Sunday afternoon as a divorced couple. They bring in the psychologists. They bring in the attorneys. They bring in, you know, property management people. They bring in all, the team that is involved in, financial planners, the team that is involved in negotiating a divorce. So rather than have your lawyer on this side of town and her lawyer on the other side of town and have it be hammered out in 100 meetings over a year, you check in. And it's done in a weekend.
That's amazing. I mean, you still have to wait the 6 months, right?
Yes, that's right. Yeah, but of course, whatever laws are in your state would still apply. It cost about $5,000.
That's actually a deal for a lot of people.
Which is a deal for a lot of people because it is not unusual to find divorce attorneys that deal in divorces that can be, you know, $100, $200 or more an hour.
Sure.
$5,000 for everything. And the beauty of it is you're both there and you are both committed to the idea of mediating it out, of getting the whole thing done so it doesn't drag on and take whatever money you guys have left and have it go to the attorneys. And they have it at a spa or something like that. So, in between sessions, you can take a spa or walk around the beautiful grounds or whatever it is and just kind of turn it into as nice a weekend as it can be to have your marriage fall apart.
How many couples do you think hook up during that weekend?
That's a good question.
Night massage and that glass of wine.
We've heard about, people go, don't they have something in Las Vegas makes it, isn't there some way to go to Las Vegas and get divorced quickly? It's just like it is to get married. I think they've got some sort of a thing there.
Maybe they do. It used to be that people went to Tahoe for some reason. Do you remember mm-hmm. that? Yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Well, this started in the Netherlands, by the way. It launched in 2011, but for the first time it is coming to the United States. A resort called the Gideon Putnam Resort in Saratoga Springs, New York, is going to be bringing it to the U.S. And they anticipate that it is going to spread throughout the country. But there you go. Divorce hotel. Good idea. I think eventually we'll all be there. So please enjoy.
We've been there.
Let's talk about today's all-new Kevin DeBean show, shall we?
Hell no, goddammit.
Got some interesting people on the program today, including our old friend Andrew Siciliano, who I missed his week one appearance of the new NFL season. He, of course, from the DirecTV Red Zone. He'll be joining us. A crazy, crazy football weekend. I know you guys talked mugs last week about how many people got knocked out of their suicide pools.
Yeah.
Yes, everyone.
If anyone was left to have the 49ers and the Seahawks both lose yesterday, they're out now too, right?
No, oh, yeah.
It's a bit of a bizarre season, so we'll talk to Andrew all about that on the program today. Neil Brennan is going to be joining us. He is a fascinating guy whose name you might not know. He's a comedian, an mm-hmm. actor, director, a writer. He co-created The Chappelle Show, but he has a new show on Sundance called The Approval Matrix. Fascinating guy. He's one of these guys that they bring in to write for the Academy Awards shows and things like that.
Yeah.
Really smart dude. And has so many black friends, and I can't wait to talk to him and figure out how he does it. He must be cooler than me.
He's clearly cooler than you.
I can't get or keep any black friends.
I'm cooler than you.
Neil Brennan is rolling with everybody. It's just insane. We want to talk to you on the show today about tattoos that you have had removed. A celebrity is in the news for getting one of those. We'll talk about the new Burger King Black Burger. Maybe that's how I start. I start eating those.
Yeah, do that, Bean.
Get me some black friends. And Harvey Levin from TMZ.com joins us, plus Ralph's got the showbiz beat, and that's next right here on K-Rock. 5:53, Monday morning on the world-famous K-Rock.
Everyone, looky, looky, looky. Who is that?
It's my good friend Ralph Garman. Hey, Ralph.
Hey, boys and girls. It is Monday morning, and that means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office to kick off the showbiz beat. No Good Deed was the big winner this weekend, and its debut made $24.5 million. That's the dreamy Idris Elba starring in that film right there.
If anyone deserves a bell, it's Idris Elba.
mm-hmm. Dolphin Tale 2 also did well in its debut, $16.6 million. People went in droves to see the story of the dolphin with no tail find a new friend.
I'm sure Dave was wrong with that, right?
It's in cute corner.
Yeah.
Guardians of the Galaxy was third. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles came in at number four. Let's Be Cops, fifth. The Drop, the new James Gandolfini film, was sixth. If I Stay, The November Man, The Giver, and The 100-Foot Journey were your top 10 movies at the box office this weekend.
Ralph, you keep in touch with your pal who made that Let's Be Cops movie?
Luke, yeah, sure.
$75 million that movie's made.
Yes, doing very well for itself.
Slow but steady. But and he never had a huge weekend, but it's one of those, I think the word of mouth is just keeping it in theaters.
And it also did better as the weeks went on than from its initial release. I think word of mouth was real good on that.
Yeah, very cool for him.
It's a great little movie. I really enjoyed it.
The Skeleton Twins wasn't on that list, but I saw it, and it was so good. I loved it. Just saying.
What did the flies think of it?
The flies loved it, too, because they are all there with me.
Oh, good. This story is the best thing that happened over the weekend. Of course, everyone talking about the magical Kanye West and his work in Sydney, Australia on Friday night when he was at the Qantas Credit Union Arena, insisting that everyone in the audience stand up before he moved on to the next song. Apparently, he's got a song. He says he will not perform until everyone is on their feet. Unless you got a handicap pass and you get special parking in S... The rapper said, nobody's excused from standing up. Well, almost everyone in the arena complied, except for a couple people. Apparently, Kanye was searching through the crowd to make sure that everyone was standing up, and there apparently were two people who were not standing up, so he refused to begin the song. That's when the crowd began to boo their disapproval to Kanye. And in order to move things along, one of the helpful audience members took off their prosthetic limb and started to wave it in the air as a signal to Kanye that you can move on. The rapper told that person, okay, you fine. But there was still one person who would not stand up.
What a dick.
Indeed. The people surrounding this person tried to explain to Kanye West, he's in a wheelchair. Kanye didn't believe him. Saying to the crowd, this is the longest I've had to wait to do a song. It's unbelievable. The crowd was gesturing furiously that the guy was in a wheelchair. West sent out his bodyguard to go into the crowd to make sure the guy was in a wheelchair.
What is wrong with him?
Is he in a wheelchair? He asked his security guard. The guy confirmed that he was. Okay, it's fine. And then Kanye eventually launched into his performance of The Good Life.
Ha 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 ha, you're in a wheelchair.
That's got to be fun to be the guy in the wheelchair.
It sure does. Hold up the whole concert while everyone's looking at you.
It's got to be fun to be, is this in the audience where you're standing there saying, really? This guy's going to make me wait to start a song until he checks that everyone in the theater is standing up? He's magic.
Yeah. I don't know what that's about. I mean, just do your show and let the audience do their thing.
Right. Just do it. Just put on your fencing mask or whatever it is you're wearing these days and just go about your business. And business is not good, especially for his wife, the Kardashian. Apparently, their big store, Kardashian Chaos, is closing in Vegas. I don't know if you're familiar with this store or not, but it was a all things Kardashian store at the Mirage, full of souvenirs and knickknacks with the Kardashian logo and their faces all over them. Apparently, sales are slow at Kardashian Chaos. And they will be closing their doors forever on October the 30th. So if you wanted to get your Kardashian Christmas ornaments or shot glasses with their faces on them, you have to go to Vegas. Hurry now before they close doors on October the 30th.
Aren't you a little bit surprised to hear that that store is in trouble, Ralph?
Not really.
A lot of people sure seem to love that family.
I think a lot of people like to follow that family and watch that show. But I don't think it's the kind of love that people want to collect their merchandise and put them and decorate their homes with their
stuff. I don't really need a Kardashian snow globe. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I think it's more let's watch the wreck from a safe distance more than let's get down there and be there when the gas tank explodes. Today's celebrity birthdays. Director Oliver Stone, 68 years old today. His good buddy Tommy Lee Jones is also 68. Actor Josh Charles celebrates his 43rd birthday. Tom Hardy.
What a lovely singing voice you have.
He is 37 years old today. Ben Schwartz, Clyde from House of Lies, is 33 years old. And web star Jenna Marbles. Jenna Marbles celebrates her 28th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, don't forget, it's the theater at the Ace Hotel to see K-Rock presents Coldplay. We're teaming up with our friends at Beats Music to bring Coldplay to town. They're not doing a lot of shows on this new album, as you know, just one-offs here and there. And this is the one. You cannot buy tickets for this. You can win your way in. Go to krock.com for all the details and another chance to win. But we will give you a couple chances this morning on the program as well. So I was on vacation last week. Ralph, I don't know if you were following my adventures on Twitter.
Nope.
My trip through Alabama.
Blocked.
had a great time.
Mm-hmm.
But I, as a guy who likes to stay current, I hate missing the show.
Well, then don't go on vacation.
Well,
your options. I go or like... don't go, man. Do or don't do.
In or out.
Don't go and then complain about it, right?
That's right.
I just, I hate that stuff goes on the Kevin and Bean show that now somebody's going to make a reference to in a month and I'm going to have no idea what they were talking about because I didn't hear it.
Tough darts.
So I wanted to ask just a couple of questions just to bring me up to speed with some things that I...
No, you lose, sir. Good day, sir.
Before I left... There was a great deal of yelling at Dave, the King of Mexico, and it was supposed to be brought onto the air the next day about him deciding who you get to grieve over when they die.
Oh, yeah. Dave Sanchez, death judge.
How did Dave Sanchez, death judge, go?
Fascinating. It was fascinating. we took calls from the listeners, and they talked about the high-profile celebrities whose passing affected them in a significant way, and Dave would weigh in whether they were allowed to grieve or not. And most often he said, no, they were not allowed to grieve.
But how can he tell me how I feel about somebody that I admire passing away?
Because it's not important, because you did not know that person personally. They weren't a friend or family member of yours, so their passing is irrelevant to you.
Dave would say, does it affect your life tomorrow, today, the day after that?
No, move on. You can't grieve then. I'm Dave Sanchez, death judge.
So you threw rocks at him and escorted him to the parking lot, I hope, right?
I'm trying to remember who was it called him dead inside. One of our guests
who was
coming in after the fact had announced that he was dead inside.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Also, speaking of Dave, you were going to address the topic last week on the show about people who are obsessed with going to Disneyland I think you and I were on the same page on this one, which is, look, Disneyland is the happiest place on earth, and mm-hmm. they're great, and everything they do is awesome. Don't misunderstand. But how do you go, like, if you went 4 days ago?
Right. And we discovered there is a name for that phenomenon that has been given to people like Dave from the cast members, the people who actually work at Disneyland. They call those people pass holes. And the pass holes are people who come just over and over and over again, multiple times a month, and they clog up the lines in the restaurants and the bars, and they make life difficult for small children, and they're just pass holes.
But so. They know secret entrances.
Oh, yeah, they're very proud of their secrets.
Oh, and there's social clubs, which I had no idea. Yeah. There's like social clubs that meet up at Disneyland, and they'll wear the same thing. Like a little costume, sort of.
What?
And part of their job is to make sure other people respect the park.
Social clubs is a generous term, Lisa. They're gangs. They're gangs of Disneyland, and they wear the vest, the denim vests of a biker gang, and they have their colors, and they roam the streets of Disneyland, making sure that Walt's vision will live on beyond him.
They don't work for Disneyland.
No,
right?
No.
They're self-enforcing.
They're vigilantes. Yes, they're
that
Disney
is
vigilantes.
Crazy.
I know. I had no idea.
Did you get a lot of did Dave get a lot of support from listeners who
were
also passholes?
All the passholes came out to support him. All right-thinking Americans shouted him down. But I did get one angry email from a passhole and said, you just have no imagination. And I wrote back and said, that's true, because it takes a ton of imagination to go back to the same place over and over again all month long. Douchebags.
All right. The other thing that I saw a ton about on Twitter and on the Kevin and Bean Facebook page, and I don't know what went wrong, but Bill Burr came in, I guess, what, at the end of last week?
Friday.
Yes.
And did Lisa get into some sort of wrestling match with him?
Oh,
what happened? We had some heated words.
Lisa made another one of our friends never come back again. Nice
so
work.
We had two breaks with Bill. And at the very end of the second break, Bill says, as Kevin is literally saying, well, it's great to have you. We've got to go. Bill says, what about the NFL? And we're off because we were talking about Ray Rice.
Right. That was the big story of the week.
Yeah, of course. And the demand for the commissioner to step down.
Yeah.
And Bill had read an article by, I think, a sports writer who suggested that having the commissioner step down wouldn't really do anything in terms of ending violence against spouses.
No, but you could bring in a more competent person to investigate those reports.
Right. Well, that was kind of my point of view. And I felt like it actually would change things. So we really started getting into it, and Kevin too. And we were supposed to go into a break with traffic, which we didn't do. And then we continued, and then we were supposed to go into a break with news at the top of the hour, which we didn't do, yeah. And also Jeez. Ralph's showbiz. We didn't do that.
Kevin's
and,
not the guy you want running the show, really,
it just
turns
ran
out,
away.
If you want the
it
clock
just ran
to
away.
Operate properly.
I just saw all these people who were writing me, who's in Alabama at the time, who has no idea what the hell's going on. They're like, why is everybody yelling?
there was
I was like, what's happening
Bill's,
on my show?
Bill's point was he didn't like the fact that any minority, even a well-meaning, well-intended organization, could call for the job of someone just ad hoc, just asking for it because they weren't happy with his performance.
Right. In other words, it's a private company. We don't elect that person, so it's none of our business how they choose to run their business.
In
That's
essence, he was concerned by the fact that anyone, even a well-meaning organization, could call for the head of someone and be awarded that. That concerned him.
Well, and I also think he felt like it wouldn't make a difference.
It wouldn't help the problem by getting him fired.
And that's where I really disagreed with him. And we both had time to make our points, that's for sure. And the thing that I admire about Bill is after we got off the air, he said, people are going to think that I am in favor of abuse of women, and that's not it at all. And a lot of people did go away thinking that. And
wow.
That isn't what Bill was saying. And I appreciate that he had the guts to stick to his point.
I think
although
people got
so
confused
wrong.
Thinking that Ray Rice was the person he was talking about regarding losing
Maybe
his job
it.
Versus Roger Goodell.
Gotcha.
But you know, the point was that as a commissioner, in terms of a body of work, in terms of him running the league, uh-huh. It's hard to deny that he's been pretty successful doing what he's done for the
yes.
NFL. You know what I mean?
Yes,
so,
true.
They're different points of view. That's all.
I'm sorry that I missed that, and I am also sorry. And then we got to take a break and come back and talk to Harvey Levin, TMZ.com. I'm also sorry every time I miss a moment with Kevin, and
oh.
I understand that we had a couple.
No idea. Oh
he was
yeah,
fabulous.
He's been on a roll.
Muggs, what do you have for us first?
The first one I have is when Kevin was trying to do a You Call, You Win for Brickleberry. So here it is. Enjoy.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
A pair of passes to the Brickleberry Season 3 premiere party. Season 3 of Brickleberry premieres on Tuesday, September 18th.
16th.
Oh, my God.
10:30 p.m. on Comedy Central. We'll take five callers right now. 1-800-520-1067.
One caller!
Jesus.
Good, Kevin.
We owe somebody some money.
I think that
somewhere.
Went well.
That was yeah. A moment
was
with Kevin.
That was nothing compared to his...
He got the name of the show right.
He did, yeah. And he got the network right,
that's
so that's
it.
Two.
And that was it.
All right, so you're saying there's another one?
Oh, yeah, there's another
okay.
big one.
Yeah. Also, another giveaway mm-hmm. over a song. Here it is.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Oh, we have Seth to give away. We have a pair of VIP tickets to the Red Bull Global Rallycross, September 19th to the 21st. It's happening at the LA, at the Port of LA. If you'd like tickets and more info, you can go to this website, Red Bull Global Rally Cross. Right. Start the song again. I'm not happy with that. I don't feel like this is going well. I don't feel like the client's getting their money's worth.
That was yeah. A Moment with Kevin.
He had to stop the show. Had to stop the show to correct himself.
If only you could erase the fact that we all already heard that.
Yeah.
All right. Good times. Thanks, guys. Andrew Siciliano from DirecTV's Red Zone talks NFL with us later this morning on The Kevin and Bean Show. And actor, writer, comedian Neil Brennan will be here as well. First, though, Monday morning, we go to the TMZ newsroom, talk to our good friend Harvey Levin. Hey, Harvey. How are you, buddy?
I'm okay, guys. I apologize for my voice.
Oh, are you sick or just losing your voice?
No, I lost it over the weekend. It's actually on the rebound.
I'm sure you were screaming at some football game, right?
Yeah, I was.
That's what you're famous for.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we won't keep you too long. I don't want you to blow it for the TV. You got to have some of that voice. This Django Unchained actor story is fascinating to me, though, Harvey. Danielle Watts is a name that a lot of our listeners won't know, but she is an actress you might recognize if you saw Django Unchained. And she was involved in one of the most bizarre arrests over the weekend that I can remember seeing. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, it's interesting because from her perspective, she's saying the LAPD have a bunch of racist cops. She's saying that all she was doing was making out with her boyfriend and in a car, and the cops came, demanded her ID. When she said, I don't have a duty to show it to you, she left. They grabbed her, handcuffed her, hurt her hand, abused her, were mean to her. And she's going all over TV. We talked to her boyfriend, and we put the story up yesterday. Well, guess what we got?
Right. Tell us.
We got the audio, the police audio of this incident.
Oh.
And it is totally different.
Oh, really? So yesterday when the story went up, it made it look like the cops were treating her like a prostitute because she was a black woman making out with a white man in a car. And now you've heard the audio and it sounds like maybe she that's not the case at all?
First of all, the people from the Directors Guild looked down and saw her, they say, having full-on sex with her boyfriend in the car with the door open.
Okay.
And that's why they called the police. So the police came for an indecent exposure investigation because they wanted to find out. They saw the couple standing there. So the cop just walked up and said, "Can I see your ID?" The guy was fine. He was actually always polite. The guy and the officer were really polite to each other. She goes off, and she is just immediately playing the race card, the "do you know who I am" card.
Oh, wow.
I'm an actress. And she was just going crazy on this cop. And the cop was being polite. I mean, it was clear he was not happy with her. But he was being restrained. And, I mean, at one point she screams, "I'd like to identify you to my publicist."
Wow.
And I'm telling you, when you hear the audio, we put a poll up on the website, who's the bad guy? 90% of the people say her.
Yeah. Isn't this interesting how differently it is spun? And when the evidence comes forward, when you get the tape from the police, that brings it into complete focus as to what really happened.
Yeah, I don't think she thought we would get this tape.
Harvey, no one ever thinks TMZ is going to get the tape, yet you always do. We've learned nothing else for the past 2 weeks, that's true.
Well, I just feel like the LAPD really took a beating on this thing and shouldn't have. And the guy did his job. They were totally respectful. I mean, there was nothing wrong.
Unbelievable. Let me ask you one more question on this, because you've followed a lot of these cases and you are an attorney in the state of California. If a police officer comes up and asks you to see ID, are you required to show it to them?
Well, if there's suspicion of a crime, yes. If there's no suspicion of a crime, then, you know, theoretically, it's a blurry area. I mean, if a cop is harassing you and there's no basis for it, the problem is that, you know, at a point, it can get real tricky on whether you get arrested for interfering with the duty of a police officer.
Well, did they tell her in the beginning why they were asking for ID? Because,
yeah,
honestly,
you hear it right on the tape. They said that we got complaints of indecent exposure.
Okay.
Say it right there.
All right.
Well, excellent work on getting to the bottom of that story in less than 24 hours. You got to see this at TMZ.com. You can also see what's going on with all of the cases in the NFL right now. The Iggy Azalea sex tape, Miley Cyrus in trouble again. A lot of great stuff up at TMZ.com right now. We'll be watching the show this afternoon on TMZ Channel 11, and then TMZ Live airs at 4 on Channel 11, and then Channel 13 at 11 a.m. for TMZ Sports. Harvey, hope you feel better, man. We'll talk to you again next week. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
I give you one thing to do when I'm gone, and I come back, and Muggs is still working here, Ralph. What's that about?
Don't look at me, son.
Seriously, what's that about? Hey, Monday morning on the Kevin DeBeach Show, a special evening with Coldplay in the theater at the Ace Hotel. Listen to K-Rock every single hour on the hour, starting at 9 a.m. for your chance to win. You cannot buy tickets, but you can win them again this morning here on the Kevin DeBeach Show. So I mentioned a few minutes ago that I was on vacation last week. Kevin is gone this week. And one of the other things that happened last week while we were gone is we won some sort of a radio award.
What do you mean, we, white man?
Kevin and Bean Show. The Marconi Award goes to the Kevin and Bean Show, which is all of us.
No.
What do you mean, no? You're a big part of the Kevin and Bean Show.
Read what it says.
Well,
Kevin and Bean are radio personalities of the year.
No, but it's for the whole show.
It doesn't
though.
Say the Kevin and Bean Show is the show of the year.
It doesn't.
It says Kevin and Bean are the radio personalities, major market radio personalities of the year.
Okay, but look,
that's specifically you and Kevin.
Are you trying
to say at all?
No, it doesn't
or,
say or
and the
company
zoo.
Or the Kevin and Bean Show or Kevin and Bean Players or Kevin and Bean and crew.
Yeah, none of
Hold
that.
None of that. It says Kevin and Bean are the major market personalities of the year. It means
are you trying
you
to...
guys are the geniuses that make the Kevin and Bean Show happen each and every day.
No.
You are the driving force. You are the magic.
No.
You are the alpha and omega. You are what makes everything special about this program. And frankly, we applaud you. Sir.
Well done.
We applaud you, major market personality. You big old major market personality, you.
Rob, is this your way of trying to distance yourself so you don't get any of the stink of being associated with the Kevin and Bean Show on you? Is that what's happening here?
Saying, let's call it for what it is, man, which is just an
but
award
it's the
for
whole,
you.
It's clearly the whole show.
No,
it's clearly the whole show. It is.
It's clearly the whole show. Otherwise, it would be Kevin and Bean Show is the major market radio show of the year. Isn't that how they would phrase it?
Do you get an actual Marconi? Do you get a thing? Something?
Yeah. Really? They send,
do
they
I get
send
a thing?
A statue.
No, Lisa,
do you
no,
get
you
a thing, Ralph?
No, Lisa, I do not get anything. No.
I know Beer Mug doesn't, but
no, just the
Chip
major market radio personalities of the year, they will receive
they
an
thing.
Actual Marconi award.
Why do I feel like something great happened for this show and you're poo-pooing it?
I'm not poo-pooing it.
It sounds to me like you're poo-pooing it.
I just applauded you.
I did, exactly. What more?
What do you want?
How more opposite
you get an
than
award?
Poo-poo can it be?
And applause. And you want more?
No, what I'm saying is this is clearly the entire show. It's clearly Ralph's participation. It's Lisa's
clear.
Participation.
Of all
it's
words you could use to describe what it is, clearly the show would be the opposite of the truth. Because if they wanted it clearly to be the show, wouldn't they say the Kevin and Bean radio program is the radio show of the year? If that was clearly what they were trying to say, then wouldn't that clearly
but
be
but don't
what
you
they
think
say?
That Kevin and Bean is shorthand for the Kevin and Bean radio show heard weekday mornings on
K-Rock? Why would they
say
Kevin and Bean are the personalities? Why would they single out you two as radio personalities?
Look.
Here's what this sounds like to me.
This is what it sounds like to me. This is Breaking Bad winning the Emmy for Best Show and Bryan Cranston throwing a fit because his name wasn't mentioned. Look,
who's throwing a fit? I applauded you. And
he's
said
the
you
star of
genius.
Breaking Bad. If Breaking Bad wins, it has a lot to do with Bryan Cranston's acting.
Yeah.
Same thing
but,
here. This
no,
is
no, no,
just
no.
as much to do with no. what you bring to the show as it does with the
no,
names that
the
happen
opposite.
To be.
It's the opposite. If Bryan Cranston wins for Best Actor for Breaking Bad, Aaron Paul doesn't get an award.
Right.
That goes to Bryan Cranston.
He doesn't go up on stage.
No, he doesn't. Bryan
Just
Cranston
Brian.
Gets up by himself to accept the award.
Yeah.
And I think, once again, Kevin and Bean are the personalities of the year, and it's well-deserved.
I already was having trouble enjoying it. Now you've made it even worse for
guys
me, by the way.
Magic.
Let me ask you one more question on this award. And this is, again, it's an industry award that they do once a year. And this is the third one of these that we've won over the course of the last 20 years. So they don't happen very often. So it's very special, and we're very appreciative of it. But how sad must radio be in America if this show is considered the best show on the air?
Yeah we've asked that question.
I mean, seriously.
The competition is not stiff, let's face it. And the fact that you've only won 3 times out of being on the air for 20 says a lot about you as major market personalities, I think.
You managed to squeeze every last ounce of joy out of this. Thank you, Ralph. Well done.
Very well.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It is. Monday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks a lot for tuning in. Ralph is here for another look at the show biz beat. What's happening?
I just a real quick aside. I went to Harvey Levin's website, that very popular TMZ.com.
Yes. Uh huh.
And I listened to the audio of that actress from Django
yes.
Unchained.
Yes.
You must do it. Everyone must do it.
Really?
You must do it.
Totally a different spin on racist cops arresting me because I'm black yesterday.
Man, it makes you angry. When if you're familiar at all with the stink this actress Danielle Watts put up on Facebook and in the press about the fact that she was simply kissing her husband when the LAPD came up to her and accused her of being a prostitute who was kissing a John and handcuffed her.
And it looked bad for the cops there for a minute, didn't it?
And the racism and the evil and just you at unreal.
It was Ferguson all over again, if you would have believed her yesterday.
And the racist cops of Studio City are horrible and just the worst. Well, the audio is available over at TMZ.com. Do yourself a favor, if you're familiar with that story at all, listen to the audio. Because it's amazing. It's amazing the spin that some arrogant, self-centered, self-serving people can put out there, especially if they have a little bit of fame, and how they can slam the cops, who 99% of them are doing a hell of a job each and every day protecting us, by the way. It's infuriating. It's absolutely infuriating. And you realize that someone should give that cop an award for not hitting her in the face with a pie or something. That's what I would have done. I would have had her kept her handcuffed. I would have walked across the street to Dupar's. I would have picked myself up a nice lemon meringue or a Boston cream. And I would have came back and I would have smacked her right in the face with a pie. And then I would have uncuffed her and I would have said, "Have a good day, ma'am." because she is super annoying.
Well, I'm glad this audio was available.
Me too.
I think this is maybe a lesson to keep in mind sometimes when you think you know what goes on the streets.
Yeah.
Even when there's not audio available, sometimes the story is not what we were told originally.
That's right, man. When I was out there keeping the streets safe, people didn't know, man.
That's right.
When Officer
when you were
Gruden,
with NYPD
when
Blue,
Officer
I remember.
Gruden, yeah, when Officer Gruden walked a beat, it was different times. All right, let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. No Good Deed, number one at the box office. A little bit of a surprise, in my opinion. $24.5 million. I thought maybe Guardians of the Galaxy would remain at the top, but no, it finally dropped out of the number one spot with No Good Deed taken over. Big, big numbers for this weekend. Dolphin Tale 2, another surprise, edged out Guardians of the Galaxy with $16.6 million. Guardians had just had $8 million this weekend. It was good enough to make it number three. I'm guessing just about everyone has seen it by now. Maybe
yeah, if you're at all interested, you've made it to the theater in the last 2 months.
The Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles was fourth. Let's Be Cops coming in at number five. The Drop, the new Tom Hardy and James Gandolfini film, which I'm dying to see. I haven't had a chance to catch it yet. It's $4.2 million, made it number six. If I Stay was seventh. The November Man, The Giver, and The 100-Foot Journey were the top 10 movies at the box office. Congratulations to newlyweds Richard Lugner and Kathy Schmidt. They are a lovely couple. Lugner is an Austrian billionaire, a real estate billionaire, married a Playboy model Kathy Schmitz over the weekend.
Okay.
Richard Lugner is 81 years old.
Oh, no. Here we go.
Kathy is 24.
Yeah! Oh, my God.
That's so sweet that they met and fell in love.
That's so crazy that they, even with those that difference in age, they could still fall in love and have so much in common.
Wow, that is, I got to give her a lot of credit because a lot of women would look at an 81-year-old and go, ew,
right.
But she fell in love with this man.
The inner man, the inner billionaire.
Clearly the inner.
The inner real estate billionaire. That's the person she fell in love with. And he was also able to look past her smoking hot Playboy model looks and found the kind, sweet spirit that resides inside surgically augmented breast of hers.
You know what I hope for this couple? Seriously, I hope he lives another 25 years. That's what I hope for this couple.
I do, too. Although the happy couple is apparently registered in a state court. If you're trying to get something for Kathy, that's where she registered. Some iTunes users are complaining to Apple that U2's new album was forced on them.
What?
They are complaining because they open up their iTunes and there it is. There's Songs of Innocence.
You can delete it, right?
Yes, you can.
Apparently it's hard.
Really?
It is a multi-step process.
It's a multi-step process to get rid of that album. You woke up and it's there and you have it and there's very little you can do about it. You must listen to U2, according to Apple.
Well,
some people are a little ticked off saying, I didn't ask for this. I didn't want this. Why do I have to deal with this now that I've got U2 in my life?
I think iTunes has it set up so that it's difficult for you to lose your purchased material because that's everybody's big fear is, hey, I paid for that song and now it's gone. So this kind of falls into that category, even though you didn't pay anything for it, it still goes into that file.
I didn't ask for it and I didn't want it and I don't want it to have it. I still have it.
I think it was Tyler, the Creator, over the weekend who said that waking up to the U2 album on your phone is like finding out you have herpes.
which isn't
what U2 was planning
That's
on. That wasn't the feeling they wanted.
Because this was not their choice and it's being forced upon them, some Republicans are calling the album Obanocare. Thank you. Thank you so much. 200,000 copies have been downloaded from the iTunes store, by the way. But most listeners claim they still haven't found what they're looking for. So. Come on!
Womp, womp.
I thought that was a beautiful noise right there.
This is exasperating.
Today's celebrity birthdays: Oliver Stone, 68 years old. Tommy Lee Jones is also 68. Josh Charles, very talented actor, until recently from The Good Wife, 43 years old. Tom Hardy, he's 37. Ben Schwartz, plays Clyde on House of Lies, is 33 years old today. And YouTube star Jenna Marbles celebrates her 28th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Monday morning on the world-famous K-Rock. It's 106.7 KROQ. Thanks a lot to tuning into the Kevin and Bean Show today. Nick Cannon in the news. You know who he is, the host of America's Got Talent.
Yes.
I met him at a event down in Orange County, one of those organ donation type events.
Mm-hmm.
He donated a kidney. if I recall correctly. And so I met him. Very nice man, yes. Nick Cannon. Less talent than anyone I've ever met in my life. As a disc jockey, as a performer, as a host, he couldn't be worse. Seems like a nice guy, couldn't be worse.
How does he do it?
And he has the worst taste in the world in marriage because he's married to Mariah Carey. So there are a lot of strikes against Nick Cannon. But he is in the news right now because, as we know, he and Mariah Carey are divorcing. And he's not wearing his wedding ring anymore on America's Got Talent. That's been noticed. And recently, when he posted his ice bucket challenge, mm-hmm. people noticed, hey, that enormous foot-long Mariah Carey tattoo is starting to fade. And it turns out that he has been going and getting it piece by piece reduced and removed. That's the plan, is to get that tattoo gone. I love this about anyone who gets a tattoo of a new significant other. He got the tattoo ahead of their wedding back in April of 2008. And here's what he said. To me, rings are special and exciting, but tattoos mean more than anything. They're forever and ever. They profess our love. And, of course, it turns out that now they're divorced. So what's involved, Lisa? I know you're not a tattoo person, but what's involved in tattoo removal? Is that a painful process?
It's painful, and it takes quite a few sessions to get rid of a tattoo you got in one session.
Right.
It's bad, and it's expensive, too.
This one that Nick Cannon had is the entire upper half of his back in giant script letters that says Mariah. So, I mean, he definitely wanted it to make a statement, that's for sure. And now here we are, 6 years later, he's getting it removed. How about you, Muggs? Have you ever had a tattoo removed?
I have not had one removed, no.
Yet, though, right?
I think I'm pretty good with all my tattoos so far.
Really?
Yeah.
Even the beer mug one?
Yeah, because that's on my foot, and I can always cover that up when I choose to wear shoes. So, you know, that's good.
They do say that the thing about tattoos is you have to think. I mean, it's probably going to be on your body for a long time. You have to think in terms of what I'm 20 now, or I'm 30 now, or however old you are when you get that tattoo. How am I going to feel about this when I'm 50? How am I going to feel about this when I'm going to try to get a real job? How am I going to feel about this when I have a wife and little kids? How am I going to feel about this when I'm 60? I mean, you really have to kind of project in the future. And that's why they say you should – look, if you love Superman, you're always going to love Superman. That's probably a pretty safe tattoo. If you love the girl that you met in Hermosa at a bar over the weekend, maybe save that tattoo. Maybe not make that one permanent just yet. There's a long list of celebrities who have gone down the Nick Cannon route and have had to get their significant other tattoos removed. And I'm going to tell you about some of those while we open up the phone lines for you at 1-800-520-1067. I am so curious to hear what tattoos our listeners have had removed, because I've seen how bad the tattoos are that stayed. I really want to hear about the ones that you had to have removed. If you've been through the process of getting a tattoo removed, we want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. Give us a call. All right, here's a list. The most famous one of all, Lisa, Johnny Depp's Winona Forever tattoo.
He didn't remove it. He altered it, right?
Yes, he altered it to create his new motto, which is Wino Forever, which he told Playboy magazine is actually a bit more accurate. So he had dated for Winona Ryder for a couple of years, and they broke up, and that's what happened. He got the tattoo changed. Angelina Jolie. Did we forget that she had a Billy Bob Thornton tattoo?
I did forget.
That she ended up having to get removed.
Oh.
Melanie Griffith, who you would have thought that this would have been a safe one, because how long was she with Antonio Banderas? Forever, it seems like,
right? Yeah, at
least
20 years, I think.
She had his was on her upper arm. She had his name in a heart, and she just kind of faded out the part in the middle. So now she's still got the heart, but now there's no Antonio in the middle.
Oh, no Antonio. That makes me sad.
Eva Longoria is up next. Remember, she used to be married to basketball player Tony Parker.
Yes.
She got three tattoos marking her marriage to Tony Parker. She got a giant 9 on the back of her neck, which was his jersey number. She got their wedding date, 777, on her wrist. And the third was his initials that were hidden somewhere on her body that she has not identified. All three of those got removed after the couple divorced in 2010.
You know, that's just such a brutal extra step. Having been through a divorce, there's that decision the day that you finally go, okay, I'm taking off my ring. That's a big deal when you do that, you know? And then to have to go through the tattoo thing on top of it.
Ugh, yes.
That's terrible.
And especially when you're somebody like Eva Longoria, who's famous and in the public.
Yes.
I mean, it is just kind of, adds insult to injury that everybody sees it and knows about it. I mean, it's kind of a constant reminder of your failure.
Yeah.
Again, taking your calls, 1-800-520-1067. If you have had a tattoo removed or you have one that you plan to get removed, I can't wait to find out what it is. Give us a call. You're not still advertising Charlie Sheen on you.
God, no.
So anyway, that's a list of some of the celebrities who have been through it. Let's see what you've been up to at 1-800-520-1067. Tattoos you had removed. Let's start with George. He's on line two, and he joins us from Moreno Valley. Hey, George, thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. What's going on, man?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Hey. Yeah, I'm actually on, I think I've got one more session to get it removed. I'm 14 sessions out.
Oh, man.
Wow. Wait, you mean you've been to 14 sessions to have a tattoo removed?
Yeah.
And you have one more left. Why does it take so many?
Because what they do is they basically hit the upper dermis of your skin with a laser, and it disrupts the ink, and your body has to have time to reabsorb that into itself.
So every time you go, it fades a little bit more.
Exactly.
And what tattoo are you having removed, George?
I had a naked woman on my forearm.
Are you no longer into naked women?
Well, not in public, no.
What? How old were you when you got the tattoo?
In my early 20s.
Uh-huh. And then when did you start to think, oh, dude, what did I do?
About a good 4 or 5 years ago, my career line changed, and I had to basically either wear long shirts, mm-hmm. long sleeve shirts, or think about getting it removed.
Gotcha. Yeah. And how are you feeling about it? Is it looking good?
Oh, yeah, it's looking great. My pocketbook hurts, but, you know.
Yeah, what does that cost? That's a great point.
This one, 10 by 4 inches, it was $2,700.
Wow.
And how much did it cost to get the tattoo originally?
About $300.
That is not a good return on your investment.
You know, that is such a good business to get into, tattoo removal.
No kidding. Wow. It takes so much longer, is so much more expensive, and is so much more painful than getting the original tattoo.
Oh, man.
That's incredible.
The pain's excruciating if you're not up for it. Just imagine taking a rubber band about 4 or 5 inches from your skin and snapping yourself with it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Repeatedly.
George, thank you for sharing your story. We appreciate it. 1-800-520-1067. What tattoos have you or will you have removed? We'll take your calls next on the Kevin Amin Show on K-Rock. I think we're in the wrong business. I think tattoo removal is where we need to be.
Yep. Seriously. I think I'm making plans.
From the Kevin and Bean Facebook page, Nitzia writes in, my boyfriend loves Danzig so much, he took the lyrics to 13 seriously, and he got the Roman numeral 13 on his neck. Well, a year later, his dad has to pay a few thousand dollars to get it removed. Paula writes in, my friend had Jennifer, his baby mama girlfriend, in 2-inch script-style letters on his neck. After the breakup, he had Void tattooed in red block letters on top of Jennifer. Now he's going through the painful removal at Homeboy Industries as his new girlfriend is not amused, so says Paula. So a lot of stories out there. We're taking your calls, too, at 1-800-520-1067 about tattoo removal. Let's start with Michael. He's on line 7. He's in Palos Verdes. Michael has a couple of interesting things about his case. Welcome to the show, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great. How about you guys?
Hi.
Great. Thank you for calling. First of all, how old were you when you got your tattoo?
I was 17.
Now, that seems vaguely illegal in this great state of California.
It is vaguely illegal. Well, my friend met a guy at Taco Bell who had a bunch of tattoos, and he was just like, yeah, I'm actually a tattoo artist. And he was like, yeah, I mean, if you guys are like 17, turning 18, I won't card you guys.
Oh, wow.
All right. So what tattoo did you decide on?
I actually was looking up the designs, and I picked what I thought was, like, badass. I picked, like, a cross and a dragon, like, Celtic cross and, like, a medieval dragon.
Okay, now let me stop you there, because that seems relatively safe. That doesn't seem like the type of thing that has an expiration date on it. So what happened that made you want to start getting it removed?
Well, one of my professors or someone was really religious or something, and they told me that it's like an insult to religion because it's medieval and it was like the dark ages, something like that.
Where is the tattoo, Michael?
Oh, it's on my arm. It's just on my right arm.
Okay, so you can't really miss it.
It was bigger than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Well, you had a guy in a van do it. How could there be a surprise there? All right, so you're having it done how?
I actually have had two different removal processes. I had one where they have an ink gun, and it's like an anti-ink, and they just inject it. And the goal is to make it bleed as much as possible. And it takes like an hour, and they just keep going over and over it. I never got it filled in, so it's just lines.
Okay.
and then they put lemon juice and salt on it.
Ow.
And the goal is to let it stand there for like 10 minutes, and then you have to wrap it, and you can't get it wet. It has to scab up and suck up the ink.
That sounds so ghetto. I swear to God, somebody is making that up.
I am not making it up. I swear.
Somebody's making it up and making you do it. They're making it bleed as much as possible, and they're filling it with salt and lemon.
And they're just
trying to kill you.
No, I mean, it worked. It lightened it. I'm telling you, it worked.
Okay.
Is it cheaper than the laser?
Yeah.
And then I did the laser once.
Oh, I gotcha.
Yeah, which is cheaper?
Well, I got an employee discount on the laser because it was my mom's friend. So the laser was cheaper, actually.
Wow, unbelievable. All right, man, thanks for the call. Good luck with it.
By the way, one more thing. I don't know if you know this, but they're semi-permanent tattoos. They're like little ink balls that they insert into you, and if you get one laser done, it'll pop them, and then it'll disintegrate.
Okay.
All right. Good to know. Thank you very much. Appreciate the call. All right. Let's squeeze in a couple more, man. These are great. Let's go to Joanna. She's holding on line one from Los Angeles. Hi, Joanna. Thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hello. Good morning.
Hi, Joanna. Hi there.
How's it been going for you tattoo-wise?
Well, my tattoo is actually on my wrist. It's my ex-boyfriend's name.
All right. Again, that should be rule number one is don't get a significant other's name tattooed. It's, your kids are probably safe. Your boyfriend, girlfriend, not so much. So what happened? How'd you make such a poor choice, Joanna?
I was actually 18 when I got it, and I realized that I shouldn't have gotten it about 2 years later. But when I was still 18, I actually broke up with my ex-boyfriend, and then I got my current boyfriend's name also.
Joanna,
You're not learning anything. Well, I mean, I guess if you keep going, eventually you'll never forget every man you ever dated because all you have to do is look down. So
yeah,
which one are you having removed now? You're having the first one removed now, right?
Yes, that one's the one on my wrist. And that one, so far I've gotten three. I've gone to about five treatments. And I still have about three left, and it's very painful, more painful than even getting the tattoo itself.
All right, so what's your advice for listeners out there today?
My advice is do not get any significant other's name. I learned that the second time.
Oh, exactly. God.
All right, Joanna, thank you for the call. Let's do one more. Let's go down to Carrie. She's on line 8, Grand Terrace. As I understand, Carrie, you have not gotten a tattoo removed, but you're thinking about it. Is that true?
Well, yes. I've had two tattoos removed. But this one was in an inconspicuous spot, so I've left it.
Yeah. Okay, now before you tell me what that is, you already had two tattoos removed. Are you still getting new tattoos, or are you willing to accept that you're terrible at deciding?
With a lot more thought process going into it now.
All right, so what's the one in the inconspicuous area?
The inconspicuous area says chaos, and the A is an anarchy sign. And underneath that, it has an infinity symbol.
All right, and where's this tattoo?
On my ass.
So, how many people are seeing that?
Well, just my boyfriend now, but there's been others before him, so just a handful.
Okay, so what's changing your mind about it? I mean, you never even see it. Why are you thinking about getting it removed?
Well, I just think that if it's on you, maybe it has something to do with your life, and that's probably not a good thing to carry with me, so...
You and plus, you know, butts change over years. In 20 years, it's not going to be looking as good.
It may not even say chaos anymore. In 20 years, some guys have been going, what does this say? I can't even read this. These letters are everywhere. All right. Thanks for calling, Carrie. The Weezer on K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. Thanks a lot for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll talk all things NFL with our friend Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Red Zone on DirecTV. That's coming up. Neil Brennan joins us later this morning as well, comedian, actor.
Roland?
Roland.
Yes, Roland,
I'm talking to the kids about what's coming up on the show.
Well, why don't you talk about something that's important for once? Just do it once!
I think our listeners are interested in who's coming on the show!
Oh, like that's popular. Like, your show is popular.
Well, I get, you got a point there, actually. What are we missing? I'm trying to think. I feel like we, these days, we're covering all the comic book news. What are we missing?
You're missing the announcement that TNT Network is working on a Titans series.
The Tennessee Titans?
Oh, my stomach hurts. No, the new Titans, a.k.a. the Teen Titans.
What the hell are they?
Teen Titans. You know who the Teen Titans are.
I've never heard of the Teen Titans.
Everyone knows who the Teen Titans are.
Lisa, have you ever heard of the Teen Titans?
Not a clue.
Well, don't ask the woman.
Okay, how about Beer Mug? Muggs, have you ever heard of the Teen Titans?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. What's the Teen Titans, Roland?
Teen Titans are like the junior Justice League of America. They originally were Robin, Kid Flash, Aqualad, Wonder Girl, and Speedy.
Why do we need this?
Well, we don't need that. We're going to get the newer version because in the 80s, when they came back as just the Titans with Marv Wolfman and George Perez, they had Wonder Girl, Robin, Kid Flash, but also Cyborg, Starfire, Raven, and Changeling.
That's
the version we're going to get.
Roland, is it possible, and I know this is on the surface you're going to want to say no, but please think about it before you answer. Is it possible that we already have enough superheroes?
No!
Why do we
need Beast Boy on my television?
I don't know what Beast Boy is.
Beast Boy is also the Changeling, you know, from the Doom Patrol.
I don't know what a Starfire is. I don't know what a Raven is. I don't need any of them in my life.
Starfire's got big orange boobies.
Okay, I might actually take a look at that. Now, are we talking about I can't believe I'm asking a question about the Teen Titans, but are we talking about an animated series or what?
No, live action.
Oh, okay.
And Robin will be Nightwing.
What does that mean, Robin will be Nightwing? Is it Robin?
Dear God. No, when Dick Grayson grew up, he outgrew the persona of Robin the Boy Wonder and took on the mantle of Nightwing.
I don't know what any of that means.
Nightwing!
I'm sorry. But why does he need to be
Nightwing!
Another super... Why can't he just be... Isn't it enough to be Robin?
No, he has to be Nightwing.
Why does he have to be two superheroes?
Because that's the way the world works, son.
Why do we need this show? I say we don't.
I say we do, and if it doesn't come on the air soon, you're going to get cut.
Oh, Beans?
I don't think anyone needs to be cut as a result of this.
Someone's going to get cut. Might as well be you.
Hey, Roland, I was just curious. We were talking to our listeners about tattoos that they've had removed. I'm just wondering, with all the stars that you're a fan of, have you ever gotten a superhero tattoo or cartoon tattoo or anything?
Yes, I have a tattoo of Plastic Man on my penis.
Plastic Man.
Plastic Man. He can stretch into any size.
I see.
Ah,
it's
nice.
Like my penis.
Very clever.
One day, will a woman see that?
How dare you?
All right, thank you, Lisa. NFL Talk next hour with our friend Andrew Siciliano. Ralph, I don't know if you heard Roland on the phone there a minute ago.
I did, yes.
Did you have any? Have you heard of that Teen Titans that he was on about?
Sure. Come on, Bean. Teen Titans.
But how many of these characters do we need? I mean, seriously.
There's no end.
There's no end. I mean, are there 100 superheroes?
There are more than 100 superheroes.
I mean, it just seems like every day there's a new one. That's all.
No,
like,
they've always been there. You're just discovering them.
I see.
But they're wonderful and they're magical and they all should be on television. I agree with your friend.
Okay. All right. Time for the Showbiz Beat here on a Monday morning. What else is going on?
It is Monday, so we always look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Here's what came in first. No Good Deed. In its debut, made $24.5 million. Idris Elba is a movie star. Dolphin Tale 2, in its debut, came in at number 2. $16.6 million. Story of a dolphin with a prosthetic tail who needs a new friend.
Hmm.
Some of those dolphins could be so judgy when you have a fake tail, man. Morgan Freeman stars in that. When he's not telling us how to order pizza from inside a wave with our Visa card.
By the way, you know how some people think that everything in the world would be better if only Morgan Freeman narrated it?
Yes.
I'm in Alabama last week, and he does the announcements at the Birmingham airport because he's an Alabama native. So you walk in and you hear him doing all of the, you know, the white zone stuff, all of the where to go to your baggage and everything. It's weird to hear Morgan Freeman coming out of the ceiling.
Do not leave your luggage unattended.
That's exactly what he's the guy.
If it's left behind, it will be taken and destroyed.
Right.
Have you seen the commercial I'm talking about where the guy orders the pizza inside the wave?
Inside the wave,
yes. What a waste of advertising money for Visa.
Because it what?
Because that means nothing to anyone ever. No one will ever order a pizza from inside a wave.
No.
And no one needs to know that their Visa order can be placed underwater or anything that about that commercial is completely useless.
It's funny you should say that because I've seen that commercial a couple times, but it's not immediately clear that it's a Visa ad. At first, I thought it was for waterproof phones.
Nope.
And then I thought it was an ad for pizza.
Nope.
And then I thought it was an ad for some sort of island that wants you to come surf there.
Nope.
So it took me a long time to realize it was for the credit card.
Visa will let you order pizza in a wave.
Yeah, it's confusing.
Guardians of the Galaxy was third. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, fourth. Let's Be Cops at number five. The Drop was sixth. Can't wait to see that movie. If I Stay was seventh. November Man, The Giver, and 100-Foot Journey were your top 10 movies at the box office. This Django Unchained actress, Danielle Watts, posted a story on Facebook lambasting the LAPD, claiming they accused her of being a prostitute simply because she was kissing her white husband. She is African-American.
Well, that sounds like clear racial profiling to me,
absolutely. Ralph. Today I was handcuffed and detained by two police officers from the Studio City Police Department. Don't have their own police department, by the way.
Right.
After refusing to agree that I had done something wrong by showing affection fully clothed in a public place.
Well, somebody better get fired for this.
Yeah, I agree with you, Bean. Apparently people complained that the two of them were going out in a car, and the cops showed up to investigate. This is what they have to do, by the way, if they get a complaint. And they asked to see her ID. She refused to show their ID. That's when the cuffs went on, because that's when the problem happened. I cannot believe these cops would treat her with such complete disrespect and accuse her of being a prostitute simply because she was black. Well, maybe that's not the way it actually played out. I wonder if our story would change if we listened to the actual audio from the altercation.
Daddy, I can't believe it. Like, all the things that are happening with the cops right now, I can't make out with my boyfriend in front of my f***ing studio.
Keep yelling, it really helps.
That's the officer there as she's screaming into her phone to her daddy, complaining about everything that was going on. This is going to surprise you. Beer Mug screwed up the clips. I need the first clip where she talks about playing the race card. Okay. Can we play that one first?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
What's the issue?
Somebody called the police saying that there was lewd acts in the car.
No lewd acts happening.
Doesn't matter. I have to ID you.
We're not doing anything.
Somebody called.
I'm on the phone with my dad. This is my boyfriend.
Okay, I want to see your ID. Somebody called, which means gives me the right to be here. So it gives me the right to identify you.
Do you know how many times I've been called? The cops have been called just for being black.
That is
not, because we're black, it means white. I'm just being really honest.
I don't. Who brought up a race card? Why?
I'm bringing it up because
I had no. I said nothing about you being black. And I have every right to ask your ID.
And I have every right to say no. And if you'd like to,
no, you do not have every right to say no.
You can take me down to the court office and I can make a scene about it.
No.
And you know what? I have a publicist. And I work as an actor.
I'm mildly interested. I'm mildly interested. You have a publicist, but I'm going to get your ID.
I'm mildly interested. You have a publicist. I don't know who that officer is, but I want to buy him a coffee.
Seriously. There's really no reason to ever bring up your publicist when you're involved in a conversation with a police officer.
I'm mildly interested that you have a publicist. She's horrible. She's horrible. She's a horrible person.
So what happened here was that somebody from a office building nearby thought they saw prostitution going down.
No,
and that's
they
why
complained
they called the
police? That there was some lewd act going on in a car between two people. That's all they said. Something sexual and in various states of disrobing was happening.
A lot of people would call on that if it were happening in their neighborhood.
On a public street in a car, and they could see it from the office window, and they were bothered by it, so they called the cops. And the cops showed up, and apparently whatever was going on in the car was over. But they did find the people responsible, and they needed to investigate and ask some questions, and they wanted some ID. And she refused to give it.
And the reason they put handcuffs on her was because she wouldn't give ID.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
Okay.
Which is, by the way, that's the law. If there's some actual investigation going on, you just have to identify yourself to the police. If you're walking down the street, you don't have to. But if there's something, they were called for a reason, then you have to identify yourself. And just do it. Just do it.
This audio tape does not support her version of the events.
And the cop is talking to the boyfriend towards the end of the audio tape, and he's like, you know what? If she had shown the ID, I would be gone by now. I would have asked her what was going on. I would look at your IDs. I would have said, okay, you didn't have any warrants or anything, and I would be gone by now. But instead, we're still here.
Yep. And by the way, the cop was right. He never brought up the fact that she was black and he was white. That wasn't relevant to his investigation.
It was her. She was saying, you know how many times I've been stopped just because I'm black? And he's like, what did I have to do with that?
I just got here, lady.
Yeah, really. I'm mildly interested that you have a publicist.
I like him.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Director Oliver Stone, 68 years old today. Actor Tommy Lee Jones is also 68. Josh Charles turns 43. Tom Hardy is 37 years old today. Ben Schwartz, Clyde from House of Lies, is 33. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, party people. What's up? Monday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show at 106.7 KROQ. We are teaming up with Beats Music to bring you a special evening with the band Coldplay in the theater at the Ace Hotel. You can listen to KROQ every hour on the hour from 9 a.m. till 6 p.m. That means less than an hour from right now, your first chance to win for today. You can also go to KROQ.com for more details and another chance to win. Getting a lot of emails, by the way, from the listeners just begging, hey, but you don't understand. I'm a huge Coldplay fan. I really have to go. That's not how these are being given away. These are given away on the radio at the top of every hour. So just give us a call and win. Lisa, you ever been to Japan?
I haven't.
I'm dying to go. They eat the weirdest food over there. That's the one thing I know, is that the Eastern and the Western taste buds seem to be different. I always see these articles about crazy stuff that they sell for food in Japan.
I think I would starve.
Strawberry chocolate Cheetos, for instance, are a thing that is regularly consumed in Japan.
Huh, I've never heard of that.
Strawberry chocolate Cheetos. Wasabi Kit Kats is another taste treat over there.
That's weird.
I mean, they just bizarre combinations. And I'm sure you might have even seen this one in the news, because this got a lot of play last week online when it was released, that Burger King in Japan is releasing what they call a black burger. The Kuro burger, Kuro is the Japanese word for black, will be available for a limited period in what the company describes as a chance to overturn the fast food industry. The bread is colored with bamboo charcoal, and the ketchup with onion and garlic and a soy sauce base has squid ink added to it.
Yum.
The cheese slices also have bamboo charcoal, and the 115-gram beef patties are made with black pepper. So in other words, you're looking at it, it looks like something the Raiders would eat. The bun is black, the sauce is black, everything on the burger is black. It has so far received a mixed reception from fans of the U.S. fast food chain worldwide. One has dubbed it the Goth Burger. So for a limited time, you can get the Black Burger in Japan. And we were curious about this. When Burger King said that they had a chance to overturn the fast food industry, like, do they just mean we're selling food that's a different color?
It's not really that different.
I mean,
it's
really
a bun
is.
And
still
a
bite and a hamburger, exactly. So we wanted to find out about the Japanese black burger and what else is going on in the world of fast food. We asked Dave to line us up an expert. We have Mr. Clark O'Brien now. He is the editor of Fast Food Weekly, and he joins us on KROQ. Mr. O'Brien, thank you for taking the time today, sir.
Oh, my goodness. It's a pleasure to be here, don't you know?
Well, you heard us on hold, I hope, sir.
Oh, yes, the Kuro burger.
Yes, so you're familiar with this. This is a real item that you can buy on the streets of Tokyo.
Who's not familiar with a Kuro burger? It's overturning the fast food industry, don't you know?
Well, that's what they said, but as Lisa pointed it out, isn't it just a hamburger with some food coloring?
No, it's so much more than that. It's a bold statement in fast food. I mean, who among us has ever said, I'd like to consume a burger that's just totally black and looks like death?
I don't think anyone has ever had any complaints about the burgers the way they're already being served. I mean, that seems fine for most people.
Didn't burgers seem a little too colorful and appetizing to you before? Didn't you look at a burger and say, that looks delicious? I wish it looked a little more death-like.
This does look like a burger that's maybe been left out in the sun for a year.
Yes. It looks like a burger when you're done with it. When it comes out the other end.
Right, understand. Yeah, we don't need to.
You understand what I'm saying?
I think we do, actually,
Once
sir.
Once you ingest the burger and your body processes it.
Got it.
This looks like a byproduct of that.
So what about overturning the fast food industry? I thought that was an interesting quote, because I bet every restaurant out there is thinking, look, we're all selling the same food. What can we do that's different? Is this something you run into and cover a lot in Fast Food Weekly?
Yes, especially in Japan. Because in Japan, they're desperate for effed up things to eat. And if you have just a plain regular menu, you're never going to make it in Tokyo, Jack.
Okay. All right. So, like, things like squid ink is just that little extra ingredient that maybe others don't think of.
Exactly. And that's why Jack in the Box in Japan is offering green fries.
Green fries? Now, how are those made?
They're made from boogers.
Oh, come on.
That's, no.
Nobody can like that.
No, squid boogers.
Come on.
It's not okay.
It's such a hard process to get those squids and then to pick their noses, their tiny little noses.
Oh, my God.
Just to make some green fries.
That seems like a lot of work for not much reward.
Wendy's is very popular in Japan.
Oh, Wendy's is in the market. Okay.
They love her red hair. They're just attracted to the red hair thing.
Uh-huh.
There's a lot of gingers in Japan.
No, I wouldn't imagine there would be.
Remember, they eat ginger in Japan, but not a lot of gingers, redheads in Japan.
Redheaded people, right. We got it, sir. Yes.
So Wendy's is offering the new red hair shake, which is made from...
Yes?
Yes, Mr. O'Brien?
Which is just...
The red hair shake?
How do they make the red hair shake?
What's in that, sir?
How does it get red?
It's black.
What?
Yes. Mr. What? O'Brien? Are you there, sir?
Hello?
It's blended with vanilla ice cream and a bunch of red hair.
Wait, a bunch of red hair?
Yeah.
Wait, it's just ice cream with hair in it? Well, no one's going to eat that. Why would anyone eat that? Maybe the only thing I look forward to more than my Sunday football is my Monday visit with our good friend Andrew Siciliano, host of Around the NFL on the NFL Network, Monday through Fridays at 3, and then the DirecTV Red Zone channel on Sunday. Andrew, welcome back, my friend. How are you?
Yay, good morning. I do not need applause, but thank you, guys. How are you?
For all of the bad news that has fallen on the NFL's doorsteps in recent weeks, yesterday reminded us why we love it so much, didn't it?
It sounds so cliche, but you're absolutely right. I always go back to it's the world's or America's greatest reality show. I think Peter King on his website, Monday Morning Quarterback, summed it up today pretty well in his opening couple of paragraphs. He said, should we still root for the NFL? Does it feel okay to actually watch the games and care and get emotionally invested and root and, you know, have our Sundays emotionally swing with every good and bad thing on the field? And he said, after watching the games, I guess probably yes. But if you wanted to walk away, so be it. Respect your decision. But I think the games yesterday were, as you said, a reminder of why we've all loved this game as kids and growing up as adults.
99.9% of the people who either work for or in the NFL, and certainly the men on the field, are there for the love of the game and because they're there to work hard and do a good job and put on some great entertainment for us.
Absolutely. Brian Hoyer, the Browns quarterback, said, you know, the league is a kaleidoscope of people, good and bad. C.J. Spiller of the Bills said, you're not going to let 3, 4, 5 people ruin it for everybody. And listen, I say all these things understanding the severity of the crimes and the stories that we discussed last week.
Absolutely.
In no way pushing those apart and saying, hey, we had a great Sunday of games. Forget about it. Let's move on. No one's doing that.
There are things more important than football, absolutely. And if you watch, for instance, the Fox 9 a.m. show,
I mean,
the first 20 minutes of it was all about the off-the-field stuff. So, I mean, people are aware of it, and people are dealing with it.
Absolutely.
That's for sure.
And they will continue to deal with it this week. I mean, if you think that all will be silent again this week, there will be likely Adrian Peterson showing up to work and people questioning him and him telling his side of the story. I'm going to guess he's going to say it's a legal matter. I'm not going to comment at all, but, you know, have a chance to hopefully talk to AP. There will be, I'm assuming, more developments in the Ray Rice case. The union today is expected to appeal his indefinite suspension. So there we go again with that. There's the lingering story in Carolina with Greg Hardy. What do they do? What do they do with Ray McDonald in San Francisco? So these stories are not going away.
What team should be the most worried right now, two games into the 2014 campaign, Andrew?
Oh, that's a good one. And I guess I can't say the Raiders because we knew they weren't going to be any good, right?
I was
going
to say either the Saints or the Giants have to be the most surprised to be 0-2.
Well, I told you guys, not to pat myself on the back, but I told you guys, what was it, last week? You guys said, what's going to happen Monday night with the Giants game? I said, the Giants are awful. They are awful. And they have a legitimate reason to be worried. I don't think the Saints should be worried at 0-2, although statistically, here's your worthless stat of the day. If you go 0-2, your chance of making the playoffs is only 11%.
Ouch.
So the Saints are 0-2, but they played both of those games on the road. They were undefeated 8-0 at home last year. The math still very much works for them, and they still have a very good team. The Falcons lost, so, you know, they're back to the pack. The Saints, I wouldn't worry about at all, but the Giants, wow.
Watch out.
They're bad. And the Raiders are just awful. Let's get that out of the way, too.
That's what I heard. And the Raiders did a full-scale reinvent this year with tons of new people, right?
Okay, so when most people tear down a house and they rebuild the house, they go with shiny new things, right?
Yeah.
That are right out of the box.
Yes.
And they smell good. And you walk in, wow, this is a new house.
This is obviously quality.
The Raiders have the oldest roster in football.
Really?
The Raiders went
their
out.
New roster?
Exactly. They went out and they spent all this money on old things. Now, things that used to be good, like in Major League, that scene when they're sitting in the diner and they're looking at the roster and they say, well, I would have loved to have this guy 5 years ago. Justin Tuck and Lamar Woodley. I would have loved to have these guys, MJD, 5 years ago. They have the oldest roster in football. They built a new house, and you walk in, and it smells like a retirement home. It's musty. It's nasty. You have to sign in. And look, I like Dennis Allen. I like Reggie McKenzie. I like Derek Carr a lot. I like MJD. There are a lot of good pieces there, but you generally don't rebuild by getting older.
Yeah, yeah. Why does something like that happen to the Raiders?
And look, they brought in Charles Woodson too, right? Who we love, Charles Woodson.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what Charles Woodson said after the game?
Tell me.
And this is not a paraphrase. Quote: "We suck."
Well,
we suck, and I'm embarrassed. End quote. And I kind of feel for him. He's heading to the Hall of Fame, and he chose to go home. He used to be a Raider. He loves being a Raider, and I respect him for it. It wasn't about money. I'm going to go home, and I'm going to help this team rebuild. Well, when you're going to start a rookie quarterback. And a good rookie quarterback of that who has a bright future, and you could put all these old pieces around him, it ain't going to happen overnight.
Is there a quarterback controversy anymore in Cleveland after yesterday?
I don't think there was. I mean, look, we in the media feed the beast, and we're on 24 hours a day, and Johnny Manziel did nothing to win the job, ever, in the preseason. He made some plays, but he didn't do anything to win the job. Now, granted, Brian Hoyer didn't do anything to win it either. He was bad in the preseason, but he won last year, so they give him the job. And it's, all right, go out there, and the first time you screw up, we're going to pull you and bring in Manziel, in all likelihood. If we're 0-3, 0-4, you're toast. Well, they're not. They're 1-1. They could have, would have, should have won both games, and they won yesterday, and they won because of Brian Hoyer. So Johnny Manziel is not playing anytime soon.
And I know that Johnny Football is a little bit... Oh, by the way, I forgot. Aren't you Johnny Red Zone? Are we still keeping
Johnny
that alive?
Red Zone.
Weren't you Johnny Red Zone last year?
Can I interrupt one second? I'd like the name Johnny Red Zone. I would actually...
You'd accept that.
Yeah, I'd accept Johnny Red Zone. So do we still have that thing with the Browns fans screaming last week?
Yeah.
Okay. So, Bean, you weren't here last Monday. Here I am producing your radio show. Yeah. Bean, you weren't here last Monday, and they played this thing from this Browns fan screaming off YouTube.
Andrew, this won't surprise you, but I was on vacation, yet I sent that tape to
you sent it in.
King of Mexico to make sure you guys had
it. So, do we have this stupid thing? All right, go ahead.
Jimmy Haslam, did you buy a team to watch Brian Hoyer go 3-out every series? You got Johnny Manziel.
You guys said last week that was me on the air, right? So I walk into DirecTV yesterday, and our wardrobe person looks at me and says, Andra, a friend of mine heard you on K-Rock.
Yeah.
Said that you were just dropping bombs left and right, and you were so mad at the Browns. I said, really? Said you couldn't stop screaming. They were shocked that you were cursing like that. Yeah, that they lied. That was not in any.
Sounded like you to me, Andrew. I'm pretty sure that was you.
That was not me.
Did you see the Jerry Springer bit they did on the Fox show yesterday?
No, I did not. What they did.
Oh, I have some tape of that.
We're here with Cindy and Rick, two Browns fans, and Rick, as I understand it, you haven't spoken to your fiance Cindy since what? Since draft day. Why?
She wants Brian Hoyer to be the starter. I want Johnny Manziel.
No. Why are you Browns fans? I mean, don't you like professional football?
So there you go. So Cleveland, who has been the laughing stock for years, all of a sudden is a team that people are sitting up and taking notice of.
And you realize that Jerry Springer's from Cincinnati,
yes,
right?
That's
so
right,
there
of
you
course.
Go. And my dad went to law school with him.
You know that one?
Jerry is not only still alive, he's still doing his show. He's still got the Springer Show on the air.
That's who? What? Seriously?
Yes. Still very popular.
On the television.
On TV, yes. We have Jerry on the show all the time. And
really?
He's still a great guest and a smart guy and a funny guy. We love Jerry.
I'm sure he's a great guy. I'm mildly embarrassed. I didn't know he was on. Actually, no, I'm not embarrassed. No, I take it back.
You're okay. You should be okay with that.
You're all right to miss the Springer Show. All right, a quick break. Andrew Siciliano is our guest from Around the NFL and the NFL Network, Monday through Friday at 3, and of course, DirecTV. TV's Red Zone channel on Sundays. Much, much more to talk about the weekend that was the NFL when we return right after this on K-Rock. Our friend Andrew Siciliano in studio with us here on the Kevin Abine Show, as he do on Monday mornings to talk the NFL weekend that was. By the way, it seemed to me that there were a lot of people carted off the field yesterday in a bad way. What was going on?
I wish I had an answer. It's a violent game. And
but for one day, didn't it seem exceptional?
It was absurd. So there's RG3. In the span of like 15 minutes, you had RG3, Knowshon Moreno, A.J. Green. Who else am I forgetting?
I don't know.
I mean,
half a dozen.
Jamal
like.
Charles, DeSean Jackson, RG3, Knowshon Moreno, Gerald McCoy broke a hand, Carson Palmer didn't play. It was nuts.
Yeah.
It was the most injuries I think we'd ever seen in one day for star players
as long as
I can remember.
That's what it felt. And speaking of RG3, the Redskins are just a dumpster fire at this point, right?
No, they won. But, I mean, they're 1-1. They scored 41 points, and therein lies the rub. They won with the other guy.
Yes, with the other guy. Because it seems like ever since that brief moment that RG3 was the savior of the league, it seems like they've sucked ever since then.
I'm not exaggerating. If he were to run for mayor, he'd win. I'm really not kidding. If RG3 were to declare his candidacy for the mayoral race in Washington, he would win in a landslide. It's as backwards and corrupt a local government as there is in America. But he would absolutely, unequivocally win. And this might sound absurd, but there is a chance that he has played his last game or taken his last snap as a Redskin.
Because?
So here's the thing. He's out. We don't know how long. He could be out this season. There are people speculating this morning, without, of course, having seen the MRIs or anything like that, that it's more like 6-8 weeks. All right? So let's say it's short term. Let's say it's half the season, not the entire season. And let's say Kirk Cousins plays as well as he did yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Because plenty of people think he's the better option.
Okay.
There were plenty of people this summer saying, all right, why don't we just play Kirk Cousins? Well, Kirk Cousins got in yesterday and played really well.
Right.
So let's say he continues, and this is all hypothetical here. Let's say he continues to play really well. RG3 gets healthy, say, I don't know, the beginning of November. Well, let's say the Redskins are winning.
Right.
Are you going to put him back in?
Yeah, you don't stop that trade.
No. What if Cousins, well, maybe you do because he is the face of the franchise. And maybe the coach in the next week or two gets cornered and says something like, RG3 is our quarterback, and the second he comes back, we're going to give him the ball, which he may feel organizationally they need
right.
to say. Okay.
Right.
Next year, RG3 makes $3.2 million. Kirk Cousins makes $660,000.
Which would you rather pay?
Yep, and both will be in the final year of their contract. So if that scenario plays out, and Cousins continues, let's say RG3's out for the year. Either way, they have a decision to make at the end of the year. Because, well, one's a hell of a lot cheaper than the other. And they both have legitimate value on the trade market. So what do you do?
Interesting. All right, let's turn our attention to a little closer to home. We talked last week about how a lot of people were bumped out of their suicide pool first
right.
week because of teams like the Patriots and
right.
the Saints losing. What about yesterday? What were the chances that the 49ers and the Seahawks would both lose yesterday and both lose to teams they should have beaten?
And throwing the Saints as well. I assume a lot of people, though it was on the road,
right.
a lot of people took the Saints. I would say, this is just me, that if you took the 49ers or the Seahawks, you were silly because they were both playing very, very good teams. Both of those good teams were 0-1, but both of those teams in the Bears for the 49ers and the Chargers for the Seahawks, you get what you deserve.
Well,
you
then you're hell of a lot smarter than I am.
Really?
Because
what were the numbers?
I would have bet anything on the 49ers beating the Bears.
Really?
Yes. I was stunned by that.
Well, when it's up, when they're up 17 to nothing heading into the half, then yeah.
It looked pretty
totally
good at that
right.
point.
The
yeah.
game was over.
What happened? What went so wrong yesterday?
The 49ers got called for 16 penalties, and Colin Kaepernick turned the ball over four times. End of discussion.
And yesterday, did we have the first of those mysterious new NFL rules about language, too? Did Colin Kaepernick say something that got him fined as well?
He did get flagged for 15 yards for abusive language, I believe, is the
now,
call.
Now, what did he say?
I don't know. Afterwards, he wouldn't. Look, Colin Kaepernick has never given more than a four-word answer ever. All right, he is Mr. Monosyllabic on the podium. He
let his tattoos do the talking.
Something like that. He doesn't want to be there at all. And if
but there must be a lip reader somewhere who's got the answer to that question.
I haven't seen it. Be honest, I don't know, but he Truth? Denied cursing. He denied saying anything inflammatory. I'm
N-word?
Not calling him a liar, but I don't
N-word?
Know that he'd tell the truth anyway.
N-word?
Yeah. I don't know.
You don't know?
I don't know. I don't know. He was asked, were you not tricked into it, were you baited into saying something? And he kind of shrugged his shoulders and gave the impression that I want to say yes, but I'm not going to say yes.
Gotcha.
So maybe there's some gamesmanship going on, and he got baited into it something. But either way, he fell apart in the second half. His whole team fell apart in the second half, and that's on him, and they lost.
All right, speaking of teams falling apart, I could not have been more disappointed with my beloved Seattle Seahawks yesterday. They only had the ball for, what, 18 minutes of the whole game? San Diego had it for 42. How did that happen?
Well, the crazy thing about that, too, is that so the Chargers played Monday night. Now, it was only in Phoenix, but they got home at 2:30 Tuesday morning, had a short week to get ready for the defending Super Bowl champions. The Seahawks had played Thursday previous.
Right.
They had 10 days.
10 days off, right.
To get ready. But, you know, it was 115 degrees on the field, and the Chargers are good. I mean, they are legitimately good.
Boy, I was impressed with that.
The Seahawks are a different team away from home. They're still a champion. They're still the best team in football. But that game was on the road. The Charger crowd was into it. All you fans in San Diego deserve all the credit in the world. Everybody was cramping up. It was a IV line to the locker room.
That's what I heard.
With that heat.
The Seahawks, the defense looked exhausted by halftime. They
yes,
really did. They're
everybody
just not used
was
to that
exhausted
kind of heat.
By halftime. Give the Chargers credit, man.
Absolutely, I do. What about Richard Sherman? Let's talk about the exposed controversy.
All right. So, you guys, for those who don't know, Richard Sherman is the Seahawks corner with the big hair and the one screaming at Aaron Andrews, you know, all that, right? So nobody throws to him. He's allegedly so good that quarterbacks will only look at half of the field.
And that's what Green Bay did in the
right.
opener, too. They
in
wouldn't
the
go anywhere
game,
near him.
Aaron Rodgers didn't throw him the ball. Ever. Ever, ever, ever. The Chargers went at him yesterday, and Keenan Allen caught three passes on him. And he refused to speak after the game. Richard Sherman did. Refused to speak to the media. Walked away. And so the Chargers in the other locker room said, we exposed him because we went at him. We made plays on him. They didn't score a touchdown on him or anything like that. And Richard Sherman, who never shuts up, ever, didn't talk. And then afterwards went to Twitter and said, what did he say?
Exposed, LMAO.
Yeah.
Something about how no significant catches, no touchdowns, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I like Richard Sherman a lot, but don't go to Twitter. I mean, stand up there, do your job, talk after the game, even if it's for 2 minutes and even if it's monosyllabic like Colin Kaepernick. Then walk away.
Do the bare minimum. Walk
do the
away.
Bare minimum, and then walk away.
So I'm not worried about my Seahawks yet.
No, why would you be?
Okay, I'm just saying. I get nervous.
No. No, 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 no. I mean, look, if you keep following Pete Carroll on Twitter and getting his song of the day in your head, then maybe that would be it.
K-Rock listener Tim writes in, have Andrew explain the 10-second runoff when there is an injury. What's he talking about?
All right, so there are three crazy things officiating yesterday. Number one, Percy Harvin was clearly out of bounds. Right, yes. The Seahawks should have been blown out of the building. They got that touchdown wrong, and the league admitted last night in a statement that Percy Harvin's touchdown shouldn't have counted. Number one.
Even though they automatically go to review in New York,
they
made the announcement
up.
On the field too soon before they were apparently finished.
Totally screwed it up.
Absolutely.
So they never even saw the replay. Number one. Number two, the thing with the Jets called a timeout, and only the coach is supposed to call a timeout. The Jets erased their own touchdown.
That was unbelievable.
A timeout. And number three, the one he's talking about. So there's a rule that they put in years ago to prevent teams from faking injuries to stop the clock. So let's say I'm out of timeouts. I'm trying to march down the field. I complete a pass deep down the field. I got to run my team down there to get the field goal team on the field. You might fake an injury, like soccer, which is nothing but faking injuries by lying liars and faking fakers, okay? In soccer, you get shot from the stands, and the guy lies on the ground for an hour, and then we arbitrarily put, like, oh, there's 6 minutes of injury time. It's because the referee just pulls some time out of his butt. Ah, oh, no, 6 minutes. But we're not actually going to keep a clock. So football, there's a rule. You can't fake an injury. So to prevent that, if a guy goes down with an injury in the final 2 minutes of the game and you have the ball and you're out of timeouts, they can't just stop the game because you're unfairly giving a team a timeout.
Right.
So they
right,
have a
right.
10-second runoff if they have to stop the game to get you off the field. So Mike Evans caught a ball over the middle, which seemingly put the Bucs into field goal position to potentially win the game. But he got drilled by USC's T.J. McDonald, who had a great game. He couldn't get up. And by the he realized the situation, so he's trying to get to his feet and trying to get off the field with the clock ticking down, and the trainers went out there to help him. Once the trainers are out there to help him off the field, they got to stop the clock.
Right.
At
right.
which point, there were 8 seconds left. At which point, 10-second runoff. Game over.
So the intention of the rule is... is a good one.
So it's not
soccer. But in practice, maybe it doesn't work?
Well, it does work. Here's the problem yesterday. In my opinion, only looking at it once, I want to look at it again. It looked as if Jeff Triplett, the referee, might have had a quick hook, that he might have been able to give Evans a couple of more seconds to try to get off the field. Mm-hmm. I don't think he would have been able to get off the field. And I don't know. Here's what I got to look up. Is there a rule that says if the training staff is out there, then therefore you must stop the clock? I think once the training staff goes out there, and it wasn't just one, it was like three people to assist him, then you've got to call an injury timeout. That makes sense?
Yes, yes, yes.
But either way, they said... game over. You don't have a chance to kick. Rams win.
Eagles, Colts tonight. Our final question.
Without Ralph, no. Eagles.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although the Colts are at home, right? Yeah, Colts are at home. I know it's going to be a good game.
All right.
That's all you want. That's all you want. What do you got on Around the NFL today?
Around the NFL, we're going to have the latest on, actually, I guarantee you, a bunch of those officiating issues that people had questions about. The latest also will be live in Indianapolis with stuff on the game. And whatever happens with the off-the-field news, yes, we will have that for you as well at 3 o'clock
this afternoon on the NFL Network and then the DirecTV Red Zone channel. Every Sunday, go to DirecTV.com. There's no way you survive the season without Andrew's face on your TV every Sunday. Thanks for coming in, man. We appreciate
That's
it.
That's scary.
Comedian, actor, director, writer, Neil Brennan joins us in studio coming up right after the top of the hour here on K-Rock. He is, of course, of the Approval Matrix on the Sundance channel. Ralph is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat for a Monday. What's going on?
Because it is Monday, we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. What was up with my microphone?
That was weird.
Can we get a little volume on there? Thanks so much, Guillermo. You're top of your class. No Good Deed. Number one movie at the box office this weekend. $24.5 million. Made it number one. Dolphin Tale 2. Debuted with $16.6 million. A lot of people wanted to see a movie that I find inexplicable.
Is that, forgive my ignorance, I was on the road a lot, didn't watch any TV last week. Is that animated?
No, no. It's
oh, it's not.
A live-action tale of a dolphin.
Live-action dolphin movie.
Dolphin who needed a replacement tail, so they made
true story.
Prosthetic tail for the dolphin. Yes, true story. The first movie was a big hit. I get that. It was an interesting story to tell. But the dolphin's got his tail already, right? We got that's covered.
Right.
The dolphin is now swimming around fine with his fake tail. Now he needs a roommate. Now he needs a friend or something. That's what this one's about. No! No! You don't get to go back to that well.
Who are the humans in this movie, if there are any?
I'm not sure.
Ashley Judd.
There you go, Ashley Judd.
Ashley Judd.
I know Morgan Freeman.
Morgan Freeman. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Because I will take any job that pays me. That's right.
Splashy way it is.
Splashy, let's find you a new roommate so you won't be lonely without having a tail.
Look, you've got a kid in, I would assume, the age group that this movie is marketed toward, right?
No.
No, okay.
No, this is for kids a little bit older, but she will never see this. All right. As long as they have Netflix. Guardians of the Galaxy, third. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles came in at number 4. Let's Be Cops was 5th. The Drop was 6th. If I Stay, The November Man, The Giver, and The 100-Foot Journey. Those are your top 10 movies at the box office. That happened. Those are movies. Those are things. And they're the top 10 ones.
Well, we're getting into fall, and a lot of good new movies will be coming out soon.
It's the drudgery. The drudgery before we start getting into Oscar season. Speaking of great movies, and my child, and movies I've seen over and over and over again, there are changes going on at Disney World Epcot at the theme park. Hollywood Reporter says they're going to replace the Maelstrom water ride in the Norway Pavilion. There's a Norway Pavilion at Epcot. I guess they all have a pavilion, all the countries.
I guess they do. I've never been.
But the Maelstrom apparently is a water ride there at the Norway Pavilion. They're going to replace that with a Frozen ride.
Well, how can they say that Frozen is more popular than, wait, what's it called? Maelstrom?
Maelstrom. The Maelstrom water ride. I don't know if Maelstrom is a Norwegian word for drowning or whatever, but it's not as popular as Frozen, which is based on a Norwegian folktale of the Snow Queen.
All right.
And so you go there and you can meet Elsa and Anna and other characters from the film. And Disney is reportedly also going to make over Cinderella's castle at the Magic Kingdom into an ice palace each night beginning in November.
Wow.
That seems cool.
So a lot of Frozen stuff going on.
That Frozen is just a license to print money, isn't it?
It sure is. It is now and forever. Wait till they do the stage version, man. I'm serious. It's going to blow up. I mean, that Lion King thing's been running now for, what, 10 years?
Right, yeah.
Longer, yeah.
You couldn't find a little kid who doesn't love Frozen.
That's for sure. Today's celebrity birthday is Oliver Stone, movie director, 68 years old today. Tommy Lee Jones, who's actually been in many Oliver Stone films, is 68 years old as well. Josh Charles turns 43. Tom Hardy. He's got a new movie in theaters called The Drop with Tony Soprano himself, James Gandolfini. He is 37 years old today. And actor Ben Schwartz, who's Clyde from The House of Lies. He is 33 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Lisa, you want to take a stab at that winner's name of the Coldplay tickets? I don't know if I can pull it off.
Let me pull it up here. Sorry, I wasn't ready for that. Not on my screen.
Osana. Yeah, there you go. Boyajian, I want to say, from Van Nuys, congratulations. You've just won tickets to go see Coldplay in the theater at the Ace Hotel. It's going to be this Wednesday night. We got tickets you win every hour all day long today on KROQ. And I've just been informed, if you're not lucky enough to be there, you can't win your way in. You can actually listen to the show. It's going to be airing live Wednesday night right here on KROQ, Coldplay. Hey, Neil Brennan, how are you, man?
Hi.
From the Approval Matrix on Sundance TV, Monday nights at 11. What's your thought on Coldplay?
You have an opinion on everything. That's why I asked you. I do. I was listening to Chris Martin on the way here. You guys played a song.
Uh-huh.
And he deserves every woman he gets. It's like he still thinks women are a star in the sky. You know what I mean? Like
sky full of stars, right?
Sky full of stars.
Very
and
romantic.
All of my material about women is just like, women are all freezing and starving. You know what I mean? Like, I don't deserve any of these girls. So go ahead, Jennifer Lawrence. Have your way with Chris Martin.
He has definitely unlocked the code on how to get women to fall desperately and deeply in love with you.
Is it not
pandering,
though?
He says all the right things.
He's pandering, isn't
Maybe
he?
Maybe he believes it.
He may believe
Have
it, yeah.
Have we thought of that?
Yeah.
I think even if it's pandering, I think he's playing the odds, and there are plenty of women who are going to just accept what he's saying as true because they want it to be true, because they want to think, hey, somebody thinks I'm a star in the freaking sky.
Yeah.
So I think it's connecting for
him.
That'd
be great
working.
If he did have a song called Playing the Odds. just about I'm just going to write about a bunch of women and hopefully it'll stick with one of them.
And eventually he just writes a book about being a pickup artist.
Yeah, exactly.
Like. The reason I asked Neil what his opinion is of Coldplay is because he's a guy who has an opinion on everything. And that's what his show, The Approval Matrix, is about. And I was just wondering, because it's such an unusual show. Was it a tough sell to get it on television?
It wasn't a tough sell. They sold it without me, and then I came in as, like, the host, but I ended up sort of producing it and writing it and all that stuff. So they had the rights to it, and they did it at like, Bravo or something, and it was a little too Bravo-ish. It was, like, too sparkly and, like, making fun of people's outfits. And then I came on. And me and this guy, Rory Albanese from The Daily Show, he was the EP of The Daily Show for like 10 years, sort of made it our own, so to speak. So it wasn't such a tough sell.
Okay. So
and it's like Sunday. It's Sunday. It's a small network. So it's like, I always say it's like having a show on the tennis channel. it's like not a huge, you know.
When a friend of mine told me, a friend of mine is a huge fan of yours, listens to your podcast all the time, and he said, Neil Brennan, you should see him on the Sundance Channel. And I said, Neil Brennan is on Law & Order? Because I just assumed if you're on the Sundance Channel, you must be on Law & Order, but apparently not.
Yeah.
How do you describe the show to people who have not seen it?
What I describe it as, it's dumber than Bill Maher. It's a panel show, four people, me and four people, dumber than Bill Maher, not as dumb as Chelsea Lately.
I think that is exactly right on.
Yeah, that Chelsea Lately is pretty dumb. Mm-hmm.
And that Bill Maher is smarter than you.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more.
You get great guests, Whitney Cummings, Rob Delaney this season, Julie Klausner, who's hilarious, Jim Norton, Jason Biggs has been on. And you basically just talk about, I mean, the kinds of stuff that we all talk about that we need to have an opinion on. But you're willing to make a ruling, have a verdict on whatever the hot button issue is. You're willing to tell us how we should think. And I appreciate that because sometimes I'm not sure where I stand on things.
Yeah. And also, like, people, everyone disagrees with me. So I just have to start the conversation. Luckily, I have a generally contrarian point of view on things. So it's good for segments. But yeah, it is like we had – and I also interviewed Chris Rock and Jon Stewart and Amy Poehler. Then we roll those into the show. So, like – they were very gracious, all those guys, to do the show. So I have, even me and John disagreed about Donald Sterling. So,
that was the most heated one of all, right?
Yes, that was the most heated one. And again, it's not heated. It wasn't like more. We didn't. I took a swing.
You didn't take
at
it personally. Or
I
anything.
Took a swing at Stewart. but no, like I just sort of thought, like you can't record people in their house no matter what. And he took a more nuanced view than that.
Did you tackle the Redskins?
No, but I gotta say, that seems indefensible, right?
I think so at this point, but I do think it's something that is very slow for a lot of people to change their opinions on because in most of our lives, the Redskins has only met the professional football team from football. There's never been another meaning of the Redskins. And I think it's difficult for people to realize that for other people, that isn't the case.
Yeah. The only thing, my only thought on the Redskins is I've heard that the RG4 is going to be built more durably.
well, they hope so.
Yeah.
This one's breaking down.
You know, it's sad. It seems like maybe one more season as the Redskins.
Once the Redskins is gone, what then happens to...
They go back to the Bullets. They go back to the old...
Because that worked out well for them, for the basketball team. What happens, though, if you say what you say about the Redskins? Do we then have a problem with the Chiefs? Do we then not like the Indians? Do we then not like the Warriors? Do any of them fall under the same...
No.
Or no?
Because I think it's the... I think Redskin is like the N-word for...
Yeah.
For Redskins.
The Chiefs isn't pejorative.
The Chiefs is just like they're in charge.
Right.
Whereas Redskins is, I think that's the white man's name for Native Americans.
What's the smallest issue you've ever tackled on your show? Like, would you go as low as, hey, is it okay to wear flip-flops to work?
I don't think there's any argument there. I don't think you do it. I don't think, although I, living in California, people wear anything here.
I'm wearing them now.
Women, I don't mind because women have decent feet, but I don't need to see a guy's infected toes and
beer mug.
Yes. My toes are not
you
infected.
This?
They're clean.
This mug?
They're clean toes.
Is that even true? Do you get a pedicure or something?
Yeah, I mean, I keep them pedicured and maintained.
You don't get a pedicure.
That sounds like a lie.
It is a lie.
Yeah,
he is that guy at work though, Neil, who insists on wearing flip flops to work. And his argument is, look, it's California. It's 150 freaking degrees outside, and we're working in radio.
Those are all good arguments.
It's not like I'm working in a supermarket or a restaurant. It's radio.
Yeah. How hot do people's feet get? That's what I've never understood. Like, do they get that hot?
Well, if you have to wear socks, they get hot.
Like, straight up hot.
Yeah.
Yeah, my feet never get
hot. Your whole body gets hotter.
Yeah, but they can't get that hot.
I love that Neil is a guy that we can go to, though, who is not afraid to put it on the line.
Look, I'm going to take a controversial stance. No flip-flops.
So let it be written. So let it be done.
Put it on the board.
You've had six episodes, I want to say, of aired so far. And what happens now, Neil Brennan?
Now they decide if they want to pick it up. I've heard they're going to, but I have no... that's not my,
no
that's
hard
not my
proof
place
yet.
To say.
I feel like they should come to you to make a ruling on that since you're so good at it. Is it picked up or is it not?
Yeah, no, that's a good point. Although it's in New York, so it's a bit of a... I have a dog and a house here, so it's like I'd rather be out here. So,
do you have to leave your dog behind when you go to film?
Yeah, man.
Aww.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like almost months. Not worth doing a TV show if you got to do that.
It's almost not worth it. No, he's a good dude, too, so it stinks to...
Is he a big dog?
Yeah, he's a pit bull.
It's hard to travel with.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so I don't know what I'm... But, yeah, hopefully they'll pick it up. If not, you know, look, I've got other... But I think they're going to pick it up.
Neil Brennan is here. The show is called The Approval Matrix. It airs Monday nights at 11 on Sundance. There's so much more. He's so much more than just a pretty face. Wait till we dig a little deeper with our guests when we return right after this on K-Rock. This is the Kevin and Bean Show on 106.7 KROQ. Thanks for tuning in. Our guest in studio is comedian and writer and host and director and actor. And what the hell can he do? Neil Brennan is here, star of The Approval Matrix on Sundance Monday nights at 11.
I do voiceover as well.
Okay. Sorry, I forgot to put that on your resume.
I do all those Samsung ads that were airing yesterday.
Neil is the is that true? Are you saying,
yeah,
is
those it? Samsung, those thing about like the when the iPhone came out.
That was you?
That was me.
Oh, that's
wow.
Cool.
That kind of went viral a little bit because people really kind of noticed that Samsung was really like taking shots by name at Apple.
Yes. I've been like for the last year I've been doing them and it's the easiest greatest money I've ever made in my entire life.
What the hell? Which cell phone ad is it that has Judy Greer and that like little animal?
Dice Clay is in it too. I think it's for Sprint.
Yeah, I think you're right.
What the hell's going on?
I don't know, but they're funny.
Yeah, I don't know.
Goth kid, and then it's got like a talking goldfish or something.
Gordon is the goth kid's name. I have no idea what's happening. Although
okay,
I'm just glad that Dice Clay is working.
I feel like you're possibly one of those super, super smart guys like Seth Meyers that is too bright for this show, and that concerns me a little bit.
Don't insult yourself like that.
Can you dumb – you can dumb it down for us now.
Yeah.
Neil, by the way, although you don't know his name, you know much of his work. He's the co-creator of the Dave Chappelle Show. He has done a lot of writing and directing for things like Funny or Die and for TV shows like Amy Schumer's show, New Girl, Mindy Project. You're just one of those guys. You've written for the Academy Awards.
Ah, yeah. I wrote for Seth's White House Correspondents' Dinner.
White House Correspondents' Dinner, which was great. You also, and most impressive to me, you have so many black friends.
I have over 20. I might be over 30 black friends.
And I know that it's kind of a regular thing on your podcast, too, where you always have, you know, you always have a black guest that you're friends with and stuff.
Yes.
But in all seriousness, Neil, because you are a very white guy.
Yeah.
How do you get so many black friends? How do you do it? What's your common ground with black folk?
How do I do it? I don't know. I find that black people are nicer to me than white people. And and I think they feel because of Chappelle Show that they can trust me. And that's a big part, guys. There's a lot of mistrust out there on the streets between the blacks and the whites.
So the fact that Dave Chappelle co-signed you as his show business brother at one point kind of gives you that's your entry card.
Yes. And it's done wonders.
So are you automatically in any fraternity of black people? Like, can you walk up to any group of black guys on the street and show them a card or something like that? And you're in, or do you kind of have to prove yourself over and over again with new people?
One time I had a black girlfriend, and this is a few years ago. That's how deep I was getting, guys.
Okay.
And I was walking in Harlem with my black girlfriend on 125th Street in New York. And I could just feel like three dudes like staring at her. They like looked her up and down. Then they panned over to me and looked me up and down. And I could just feel their heat. And then one of them goes, "Oh, man, it's Neil." And it was like, oh, okay. And I just like went and said hi to them all. Like I was running for office or something.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, no, like it could have in like 15 years earlier, there would have been a fight.
Yeah.
But it was like, hey, what do you say, fellas?
That's unbelievable.
So, yeah, it's been
it has always troubled me because I believe I try to live in the, you know, post-racial America that we all idealize. Mm-hmm. But it occurred to me a few years ago that I had no black friends. So we actually did – Lisa, do you remember this? We actually did a bit on the radio where we auditioned people and
we got
a black friend.
Yes,
but
that's
right. And then we stayed in touch a little bit, but then we kind of, you know, kind of lost touch and everything. And now I feel like I, you know,
I will say that they
missing in my life.
They do switch cell phone numbers a lot.
Is that what's going on?
Yeah, that does happen. So
that's how we lost touch, I guess.
Yeah, you get used to it. They'll bring you on. They'll switch their contacts, et cetera.
Now, I don't have your resume, so what tip would you give for me who's just a generic white guy on the street? How can I bring some black people into my life?
It's no one's ever asked directly.
We've all wondered it, but no one's ever asked.
You're pretty white. I mean, you're
super white.
Yeah, you're cultured. But all right, so you like the Seahawks, you said.
Absolutely, yeah.
So there's a thing. There's a point of entry.
Okay, football. A lot of black folks like football.
Do you guys play black music ever on the station? Kind of not really, huh?
Not very, really. Very rarely.
Not often.
I'm kind of thinking who would even qualify. Lenny Kravitz a long time. I mean, who?
We would have played him back in the day, absolutely.
Yeah. I'm running out of weight. This might not happen for you, man.
This is very sad for me.
I know. I'm sorry, man.
Yeah, he's out.
Yeah, no, I don't. I honestly don't know what to do. Like, it's the football thing. Radio, you could get them tickets for shows that they'd want to go to, right? Like, you could. Do you know somebody at Clear Channel or something?
So what you're saying is the next time Little Wayne's play in town,
yes.
I just go down to Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard and just start handing out tickets?
Yeah, you went a little racist on me with the Martin Luther King Boulevard thing, but yeah, I think you'd make a lot of black friends if you had by the way, call him Wheezy.
Wheezy,
don't
call
him Little Wayne.
Okay,
call him
all
Wheezy.
Right,
if you want to get black friends, say, I got them Wheezy tickets.
Already a great tip from Neil Brennan.
Yes.
All right, I'm going to take that. That's going to be my jumping off point. I'm going to see what I can do to get a little color into my life. That's fantastic. All right, Approval Matrix, Monday nights at 11 on Sundance. When will you hear whether you're renewed or not, Neil?
I do not know. I would assume like in the next week. It's doing well, though, so I would assume it'll pick it up.
The show
but watch tonight.
Very...
It's Hannibal, two black guys, Hannibal Buress, Donnell Rawlings from Chappelle's Show, and Poehler's on the show tonight. It's a good show.
You get great guests on the show,
yeah.
And it's super fun, and your monologue's funny. I mean, it's Sundance, that's tough sledding for a lot of people to find that channel.
No, it is. It's in a bad neighborhood. It's in a bad channel. It's in probably, you don't know, it's in the
300s
or the 7. But it's, you don't go up there, you get confused.
Yeah.
It's like looking for like MTV3. It's just like you get
scared.
I know
that nobody cares, Lisa, but the truth is you have to think of it that one time when you're sitting there with your remote, you're setting up stuff to record. It doesn't matter what channel it's on once it's in your DVR.
Yeah, but can't you just put the name of the show in?
You got to think of it, though. That's what I'm saying.
You don't accidentally.
It's not like you, unless you're watching Sundance, you're not going to see a promo for Neil's show to give you the idea. Oh, yeah, I meant to set that up and tape it.
That's a good point.
So that's why we're trying to get the word
out. My
lead-in
is a Law and Order from 1988.
It always is, too.
Yeah.
And the Champs, how often does that come out on iTunes?
That comes out sparingly because my co-hosts are very busy. But
a lot of black people on the Champs, too,
by the way. Almost nothing but.
Yeah. Great stuff.
Thanks, man.
All right, Neil, a real pleasure, sir. Thanks for coming in.
Yeah,
good
nice
luck
to you,
man.
Talk about it. Shouldn't
talk about it. Hey, is that Vance Joy guy?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He was on last week while I was on vacation. How was he?
He was really good.
That is Milky Chance.
Oh, it's Milky Chance.
Oh, I'm
different
sorry.
Song.
Never mind.
I'm sorry. I only heard the end of it there. I hate it when I miss the musical performances, but Vance was good?
He was really good and super dreamy.
Really?
Yeah.
Now we got to get Milky Chance on, I guess.
I guess so.
Get them to confess what their real name is, because clearly they're not sticking with that, right? 9:41, Monday morning on the Kevin Bean Show. Rob is here, time for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
It's a Monday morning, which means we look at the top 10 movies at the box office. No Good Deed was number one this weekend. $24.5 million made it so. Dolphin Tale 2 did $16.6 million, good enough to make it number two at the box office. Then Guardians of the Galaxy, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and Let's Be Cops were your top five movies at the box office. The Drop, in its debut, made just $4.2 million in limited release, good enough to make it number six. Then If I Stay, The November Man, The Giver, and The 100-Foot Journey, rounding out the top 10 movies at the box office. Speaking of movies, you have just six more days, people, to go to Kickstarter.com and fund Samurai Cop 2, Deadly Vengeance.
Yay!
Six more days left. Out of the $50,000 goal, they have raised $42,842.
Wow, that's good.
So just about a little over $7,000 away from their goal over the next 6 days. So let's not give up, people. Let's get over the cross that finish line. Make sure Samurai Cop 2, Deadly Vengeance is fully funded so that I, too, may share the screen with Matt Bannon.
Yeah, you had Matt on the show last week too, right?
Hell, we did.
And how was he? Was he stunned at the continued love for his samurai movie?
Yeah, I think he's thrown by this whole thing. Quite frankly, I think he's surprised that first of all, the film was even rediscovered, and the fact that it's become a thing again, and now that he's making another one, I think it's all sort of shocking to him.
Bingo,
indeed. It was very cool. He was hitting on Lisa May, too.
Yeah, he was.
Who can blame him?
Yeah. You're a silky voice.
Kitten voice.
you got a chance with Lisa. You might as well go for it.
That's true.
Congratulations to Cheyenne Jackson of 30 Rock fame. Got married to his longtime boyfriend Jason Landau in Encino, California last week. Us Weekly Magazine reporting a star-studded event. Leah Remini was there, Rebecca Romijn, Jerry O'Connell, Alicia Silverstone, Jane Lynch. They all came out to toast the happy couple who went public with their relationship last October. So congratulations to those guys. More celebrity wedding news. Lauren Conrad, remember her from Laguna Beach in the hills?
Oh, yep. Yeah.
She got married to her lawyer boyfriend, William Tell. It says here his name is, on Saturday.
That must be unfortunate for him.
So Rich, he shot an apple off his head with a bow. Because that's what he does.
Right.
Sure.
Interesting relationship news coming from the set of Orange is the New Black. Lauren Morelli, one of the writers on Orange is the New Black, has discovered that she is a lesbian thanks to writing for the show and has left her husband and is now dating Samira Wiley, one of the actresses on Orange is the New Black.
Oh, she plays Poussey. She's gorgeous.
So she said, I started writing for the show, and hey, it just dawned on me. Wow, I'm gay.
Okay.
What a surprise.
How often does that happen, that a grown heterosexual married person wakes up one day and realizes that they now want to be in a relationship with the opposite sex?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's about falling in love with a person more than, and you know, we all know that people are on some sort of scale as to which way they can go. And mm-hmm. sometimes women don't realize how close they are to being able to be on the other side of that scale.
Yeah. Lauren says she's gay.
Yeah.
She had never had much interest in having sex with her husband. Maybe that should have been one of the clues.
Okay. All right. So this was something she'd probably thought about previously.
No, maybe? Never had. That's the thing.
She probably just didn't think she had interest in sex, period.
Isn't
that's
that
what she
interesting?
Thought. Yeah. Then she started writing all these lesbian sex scenes. She was like, whoa, wait, hold on a second.
this is hot.
This is great for me. What, did you not know it existed, the possibility of having sex with women before, Lauren? By the way, Lauren should have dropped by the studio. We could have figured her out pretty quick.
Really?
Eye test. Moving eye test. They look at her. Lesbian.
How is that for the husband? It's easier news than I'm leaving you for another man, right?
By all accounts, their separation is very amicable.
Okay.
She got the Lexus and he got the Honda. It's the only problem I could see in that whole split up, but apparently they're still good, great friends and everything's everything.
He probably wants to find a woman who'd like to have sex with him.
Why not?
Yeah. So this might be a win-win
all
for everybody.
All things being equal?
Yeah.
Why not? Find a girl who wants to have sex with.
I only pay for this much carpet, mm-hmm. but look at how much I got.
I know. You got a lot more carpet now. And Kanye West was in Sydney, Australia on Friday when he would not start his song, The Good Life, until everyone at the Qantas Credit Union Arena was standing up.
So
you mean most people?
No.
Like the people
everyone stands up or he does not start the song. He said, I've done this a long time. I'm really good at making sure everyone's standing up. I'll stand here all night until everyone's standing up. He said, this is the longest I've had to wait for a song. It's unbelievable. When he was still waiting for two fans to stand up, that's when the crowd started to boo. They wanted to hear the song. He wouldn't get on with it until he found out one of the fans started waving their prosthetic limb in the air to show Kanye that they really couldn't stand up, to which he responded, okay, you fine. Then what about the other guy? He kept insisting. People around that person started to let Kanye know that he was in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
But Kanye wouldn't believe it.
Why wouldn't he believe it?
Well, you know how those people lie, Lisa, with their wheelchair lies.
You know how they do.
He sent his bodyguard into the crowd to make sure. And once Kanye got confirmation that he was indeed in a wheelchair, he then said, he's in a wheelchair? Okay, it's fine. And then he launched into his performance of The Good Life.
Ha 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 ha! You're in a wheelchair.
Yeah, that's what he said.
Actually, I have a clip of it, Ralph. I really do. This is not a joke.
Yeah, it's very hard to understand and very to make out, though. So that's why I'm not requesting that. I am requesting, however, the clips of this this young lady, this actress, who claims that the police in Studio City, California, accused her of being a prostitute because she was kissing her white boyfriend. She is African American in a car on a public street. She had a very strong Facebook statement saying how she was handcuffed and accused of being a prostitute and how they were racist. And then TMZ released audio from the actual altercation between Danielle Watts and the LAPD. First of all, when the LAPD show up on the scene, they had received a call saying that there was something overtly sexual going on between a couple in a car, and people were complaining, so the cops showed up. She wouldn't get off the phone to talk with them. She walked away and continued talking to her daddy. And then, well, here's her playing the race card.
What's the issue?
Somebody called the police saying that there was lewd acts in the car.
No lewd acts happening.
Doesn't matter. I have to ID you.
We're not doing anything.
Somebody call.
I'm on the phone with my dad. This is my boyfriend.
Okay, I want to see your ID. Somebody called, which means gives me the right to be here. So it gives me the right to identify you by law.
You know how many times I've been called? Being black. Because we're black, it means white. I'm just being really honest.
I don't. Who brought up a race card? Why?
I'm bringing it up because
I said nothing about you being black.
Here.
And I have every right to ask your ID.
And I have every right to say no. And if you'd like
no,
to,
you do not have
like
every
to
right
demand
to say
it,
no.
You can take me down to the court office and I can make a scene about it.
No.
And you know what? I have a publicist and I work as an actor at this studio.
I'm mildly interested. You have a publicist, but I'm going to get your ID.
I'm mildly interested that you have a publicist.
I love that.
Listen, she's just behaving like a little spoiled brat,
yeah,
is what she's doing. You can tell. She's like, I am too important to be dealt with this way, and you just need to leave me go because I say so. Here's the thing. Had she just given the guy her ID, it all would have ended a long time before it reached this point. And the cop even says so. I would have been gone 15 minutes ago if you just give me your ID. Here she is just melting down.
Daddy, I can't believe it. Like, all the things that are happening with the cops right now, I can't make out with my boyfriend in front of my f***ing studio.
Keep yelling, it really helps.
Cop's like, do I need to get paramedics? Are you losing your mind? Do you need some help?
One of our listeners pointed out that the police officer on the tape sounds like Archer.
He kind of does. He's great. I'm mildly interested. You can hear the whole thing on TMZ.com. They got the whole audio. But she's just milking the hell out of this story. Now she was on CNN this morning with a press conference, her and her boyfriend.
Really?
Yes.
Well, I hope they play this tape.
They did. And she said, well, that's not the point. The point was that I believe in this country, in freedom. And it's America. And so I have to be able to expose this kind of behavior that's going on with the police. Like, this isn't Ferguson. You just were making out with your boyfriend. You didn't want to tell the cops. Here's my ID. That's what happened.
That's it, period.
And by the way, if the police are called and a homeowner says, hey, there's a couple having sex in public in broad daylight in front of my house in their car, please come look at it. Does she not want the police to go and check that out?
Well, that's what this woman on CNN asked her. She said, if you were the police, how would you have handled it? She said, well, I've played a cop before. So I actually do have an answer. It was hilarious. And then, this is my favorite part. Here's a clip from the interview on CNN where she talks about why she just didn't show the cop her ID.
But again, I'm not trying to harp on this.
Yeah.
You gave your ID to Brian. He gave it to the police. You see that if you had done that earlier, it might not have escalated this far?
I certainly understand that, but I do, again, feel like part of my role as a public figure is to raise awareness and be strong enough to say and do the things that maybe people who don't have the advantages that I have aren't strong enough or don't have the know-how or don't have the awareness to do. So because I'm aware of the history of our country, I've went to college, I've studied the law, I've studied, you know, these sort of situations.
Okay, you're not a freedom fighter!
She studied the law?
She didn't!
Is she a lawyer?
You're an actress!
She didn't play a cop, though, Ralph, in her defense.
She played a cop once. Stop it. You're not a public figure, by the way.
No, you're not.
Up
no
until
one's
now,
heard of you.
You were known as the girl who opened the door in Django Unchained.
This is unbelievable.
This is our country.
I know you're trying to take this blow for all of us. Stop it.
Yeah,
don't.
Yeah, we don't need you to fight our fights for us. Because if a cop comes up to me and says, I heard you were banging somebody in the car, I'd say, no, I wasn't, officer. Let me see your ID. I'd say, here's my ID. And he goes, all right. Don't do it again.
Right.
And he leaves me alone.
Yeah, it's like a 45-second exchange.
We'll go back to our lives. Public figure, studied the law. Today's celebrity birthdays. Oliver Stone, 68 years old today. Tommy Lee Jones is 68 as well. Josh Charles is 43. Tom Hardy's 37 years old today. And actor Ben Schwartz, Clyde from House of Lies, is 33 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I, too, have also played a cop on television.
As a matter of fact, you have. Thank you so much, Ralph. Hope you'll come back. Hope everyone will come on back for an all-new Kevin and Bean show for tomorrow. I've got a couple of great guests for you, too. Ike Barinholtz, who's hilarious as Morgan on The Mindy Project. He's also one of the writers on that show, is going to be joining us tomorrow morning. And the beautiful Hannah Simone will be here as well in studio. She is Cece on New Girl. Both of those shows back this week. You know, our TV shows are finally starting to trickle back on for the new fall season.
It's really starting to ramp up.
Very, very exciting. So that's tomorrow, plus an all-new What's Up with Florida and more chances for you to win. Don't forget, every hour up until 6 o'clock this afternoon to win your way into the Coldplay at the Ace Hotel Show. Get the details at KROQ.com.